I'm going to call this meeting to order. The Government Accountability and Information Technology Committee, and sorry for being late. There's a lot of farm machinery in between here and Hillsboro this morning. So Danny, you want to tell us what we've got going this morning?
Mr. Chair, before you, you've got a copy of the executive summary and the Secretary of State's audit of the State Data Center, as well as some materials that Legislative Fiscal Office will cover in the first part of the presentation. I can just briefly remind people to shut off beepers, phones,
yeah, cell phones,
whatnot. And I think that if the air is not on, it does feel a little cooler. It will be on within the next hour. You can be pretty sure.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Dallas Wyan with the Legislative Fiscal Office and the office's resident historian with respect to the budget of the State Data Center. I will be transferring that responsibility to the couple of the individuals to my right after this meeting, hopefully. I would like to take the opportunity to introduce to my right Lori Byerly, who will be responsible for the budget of the Department of Administrative Services, at least those portions that have the data center and the IT issues. And to her right is Bob Cummings, our principal analyst for IT. He will be presenting his assessment of the State Data Center project following my presentation. I'd like to point you to, I'll be using these slides, and clipped to the back is a little graph that I'll be referring to that relates to data further on in the short presentation I have. First of all, I'd like to start off with in the 2001 session, this precedes or predates the data center, but the Joint Committee on Ways and Means formed up a subcommittee called Advancing E-Government, and it reviewed all requests from agencies for new IT projects. This was the first time that one subcommittee saw everyone's different requests, and they got a better picture of what the executive branch was coming forward with respect to IT projects. As a result, it directed state agencies, at this time web hosting and websites were coming on stream, and it directed state agencies to work with the Department of Administrative Services to look at consolidation of hosting a website. So the reason I point this out is that the legislature, as far back as 2001, is supportive or pushing the executive branch into consolidation of IT efforts for economies of scale and consistency of presentation. In that session, the legislature also funded what's called e-government initiative within the Department of Administrative Services, and that was designed with the intent in mind to standardize web content, navigability, so that the citizenry of Oregon or other places could come to one place, and generally, whatever department you went to would have a similar look and feel to the presentation of the data available, and also then to help enable e-commerce, if you will, or transacting business with state government. Advancing then to the 2003 session, this was really the genesis of the State Data Center. In the executive branch budget request, there was $150,000, essentially a placeholder in the capital construction budget only, for planning for construction of a data center. It wasn't called a data center then. It was called, I think, a central computer facility. Subsequent to that, the legislature approved that in the capital construction bill in March of 2004. Then the Department of Administrative Services moved forward and contracted with a consulting firm to look at planning a consolidation or movement of different data centers into one facility. The emergency board received reports, approved additional planning money for the building. The governor received a report from a group that was called Data Center Governing Board, that was comprised of the directors of 12 agencies that would be affected by a movement into a data center. And that group recommended to the governor going forward with a consolidation of data centers in one facility. Subsequent to that, the executive branch came forward to the emergency board and asked for funding for design and construction. that was approved in September of 2004 with an eye towards having it completed in the fall. And then early in 2005, the last emergency board meeting, security was becoming an issue and concern, and the emergency board again approved some funding for a one-time investment into security infrastructure that would be with the Department of Administrative Services, but it was a result of tests that had been done or were being performed of vulnerability assessments on different agencies. The legislature approved an enterprise approach then to development of security for the state, an enterprise approach. So, again, I point this out, but the legislature is fully behind an enterprise approach to IT infrastructure as well as content and
can you explain to people real quickly what you mean by an enterprise approach?
Certainly, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. In the past, state agencies had been were administered in a individually, budgets are passed individually. Within each budget was what was available for IT or information technology. Agencies developed their own systems autonomously, had their own data centers autonomously. There was no cross-pollinization, if you will. There was no standardization of applications. There were a myriad of systems out there and applications. So the legislature was pushing towards an enterprise approach. Let's look at this as a state government approach. Let one enterprise, this when the public comes to the state website or comes to the state, it should expect the same thing from each agency. So, and we felt there would be economies of scale, as well as consistency of applications throughout.
Thank you.
Moving forward to the 2005 session, I would like to point out that following on that security issue, it was found that there was no statute that assigned responsibility for state IT security within the state. There was then a House Information Management Technology Committee. The chair of that committee actually burned one of his priority bills and used it for what became law then, assigning responsibility for the enterprise security or standards for security to the Department of Administrative Services. Also in that session, the executive branch came forward with a placeholder to approve the movement of equipment and the establishment of a data center, a state data center. I say movement of equipment, but it wasn't moving people. We authorized positions for a new state data center, but the plan was to eliminate positions in the executive branch and the other agencies that would be moving, and those people would be expected to apply for new positions in the data center. As you are well aware, promises were made. It was going to save us money. We approved almost $100 million. The details of it are laid out for you there, and I point out to the chart that I gave you a colored graph. You'll see that very first budget, principally one-time costs, some debt service, and ongoing operations of the data center. So that budget for consolidation was approved, and the state began to move forward. During the interim following the 05 session, a data center manager was hired. He found that the original plans were sorely lacking, for want of a better term, and that an adjustment to their budget was going to be needed. In April of 06, the emergency board, and I will say it wasn't without some gnashing of teeth and wailing, if you will, at promises made and not kept, but they approved 56 additional permanent positions for this data center. Of those, though, I should point out that 11 were going to be for IT security, the active monitoring of IT, not the infrastructure and development that was still vested with the Information Resources Management Division of DAS. It increased the operating budget of the data center. So, and you will see see then in the chart, we see a little now the change in the data center's operations, or the budget has changed. Its operating budget increased a bit. We pushed off some one-time costs into the 07-09 biennium. So you see that there was change from what was originally conceived already. We were only 10 months into the biennium. The total budget for the data center then for the 05-07 interim was $101.2 million. In the 07 session, the budget request for the data center jumped dramatically from what the budget had been for 05-07. Went to $167.6 million, which was approved. And it's because of the additional operating costs. They also moved voice, which had not been part of the original plan, so additional 10 individuals. There was, in the budget process in 05-07, whenever you create new positions, they're created at, quote, step two. Well, most of the positions that were filled in the existing data center were people who had vast experience within state government, and they were at the top step. That you can't reduce them just because they change positions or change location. So the budget there, $7.4 million was appropriated to make up for that, which I would refer to as a budgetary lapse. We should have seen it coming and provided for that in the 05 session. Security staff, we now have a staff of about 159 people. 21 of them hadn't been anticipated at all. They weren't for operations at all. They were security, voice. So we had 138 positions compared to the 93 that had been promised. We had a budget that was vastly larger than had been anticipated when the plans were approved in 05. And we also put the data center budget to monitor it. We put it in a separate section of the budget bill. And the reason I point that out is the Secretary of State's recommendations with respect to the data centers had recommends in two different places that the department allocate resources to the data center for certain reasons. And the department can't unilaterally allocate more resources to the data center without violating budget law. So I just want to point that out, that the department cannot move resources to the data center without your approval, yours being the legislature's. So that's since the 07 session, it started before that. The data center had to change the way it collected its revenues from state agencies. 05-07, because it was new and transitioning, it did it on an assessment basis. Essentially, each agency that was involved just transferred a certain amount of money to the data center, and it operated that way. And I believe the department was hoping to continue that in 07-09. As the transition was continuing, the federal government said, no, thou shalt not, that you have to go to more of a rate and usage model. The staff involved, you have Elizabeth Harshenko from the Finance Committee is here. She was heavily involved in this, as were a great number of people. But there was no history of a rate model for a consolidated data center, so it took a lot of effort. As a result, though, they came up with one where they developed some history, and the net result was no additional increase to the data center's budget. However, because of usage in the rates, there were shifts in the amounts that certain agencies were going to be expected to pay. There were winners and losers, and they came to the emergency board, and we approved essentially an allocation to some of the losers out of the general purpose appropriation of about $2.3 million that came from the E fund. That's where the data center stands now. It's at a budget of $167.6 million for this biennium. It's transitioning. It has more staff than was expected. And that's the sum of my comments, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Is the rest of this panel going to speak on this, or
Bob Cummings has our assessment or his assessment of where the data center is now? He's been with the office since April, I believe, Bob, and he has immersed himself.
Okay. I'm going to hold questions then until after that, and then I'll open up for questions for this entire panel.
And, Mr. Chair, this is his first appearance, I believe, for before a committee of this, the Oregon State Legislature.
Fine. Go ahead.
So I may not have all the protocols down yet.
That's all right.
Let me bring up my presentation so all those of you who look at the color can see the color version of it. Where's Explorer? Mind if I stand over here so I can look at everyone and it's easier to see the screen at my age.
You want me to flip?
Yeah, would you mind? All righty. What I'd like to
Before you start, would you give us your name for the record?
Okay, sorry. My name is Bob Cummings. I'm with the LFO. I'm responsible for information technology with the LFO. All right. The agenda for my presentation, and this is a pretty thick presentation. We're not going to go through every single page of it, okay? But I didn't want to lose some of the material. The agenda is to run through the purpose of it, the background of the project, a little bit of history, how I think we need to be framing the assessment of how the data center is being evaluated right now.
Bob, you're going to need to be closer to the microphone.
Okay. All righty. Sorry about that. How we're going to frame the assessment, I think it's being framed primarily from a cost perspective, and I think there's other factors that need to be taken into account. In addition to that, I'd like to take a look at how we did, what went right, what went wrong, where we're at now, myths and misperceptions, I think, that are out there, the next steps for going forward, and then questions at the end. There's 34 slides here, and we're not going to be able to get through every single one of them. Being a man of few words, I couldn't pare it down much from this, okay? So let's take a look. First of all, my background, just briefly, so that you'll know where I'm coming from. I've only been with the state of Oregon for about 3 months, but I started in 1968 with the state of California. I've been doing this for about 40 years, and I've been primarily in state government in Washington, California, Alaska, Montana. For the last 15 or 20 years, I've been primarily a CEO or a CIO for IT organizations, deputy CIO. I just came from the California State Legislature, where I was deputy director for enterprise architecture and deputy, and I was also chief architect for CalPERS. Most of the agencies that moved to the data center, I've been either a CIO or deputy CIO or executive manager for, so I have experience on that side. And I have a pretty strong background in outsourcing, having worked for EDS for a number of years, and my doctoral work was in outsourcing in the public sector. So that said, that'll give you a feel for my perspective. I was asked a couple of weeks ago if I would address the data center issues that had been popping up in the press and what I thought were some of the misperceptions that may be out there about this, and I want you to understand that in 2 weeks it's not possible to do a full-blown assessment of everything that's happened that those of you who have been involved in this for the last 4 or 5 years. So this is an assessment, it's not an audit. It's a very sensitive issue. Everything that I say may not be correct, and everything I say you may not agree with. But it's my take. I've done this a lot when I worked with the EDS. I'm used to looking at organizations, and I've built data centers. I've moved them from California. I've been outsourced myself, and I understand the process that we're going through. So that's my disclaimer, that in 2 weeks I can't do what, if you brought me in from EDS and asked me to do it in 2 weeks, I would have said I couldn't do it. Okay? All righty. Let's go to slide 4, and we'll start going through these. I'm going to skip through some that you can read through. The project purpose and background and goals are very clearly defined. In the business case, they're defined in presentation after presentation. But the major goals was to save money. That wasn't the only goals. And even in the business case, they listed as cost savings as a major purpose for doing it. But they also listed other issues that dealt with technology, that dealt with security, things of that nature, obsolescence, et cetera. And if you go through the business case, both the summary and the detail, you'll see that there's a large list of things. But the major focus of that business case was dollars. Dollar savings, and you'll find as we go through this that I have a problem with that basic single foundation. Slides 5 and 6 is just a reiteration of the different reasons that I've gotten from different presentations for why we did it. As I said, they were good sound reasons for doing it. Okay, but with again a major focus on money. And at that time, we had a tight budget problem. I just came from a state with an $18.6 billion budget problem, so I'm well aware of what you try to do when you're having financial problems. Slide 7 is the original folks and agencies that were involved. Put that there primarily just to remind everyone what the 12 agencies were and the original folks, and a lot of those who have changed since then. Slide 8. Project promises and success factors. From the business case and from multiple presentations, and I've read probably 12 to 14 inches of material in the last couple of weeks, cost savings within a couple of years, estimated 16% of the statewide operating cost reduction, and there was even an asterisk that says these are conservative and the actual savings could be higher. Reduced staff from 155 to 93 immediately, and I actually saw another statement that was going to move it from 93 down to 78. 55 months to recover the one-time costs. Savings will continue in perpetuity following the ROI. Analysis assumed most conservative scenarios, and the business case was compelling. I believe that the business case was compelling, but I don't believe that the business case that was written proved that. Okay? I do believe that it was the right thing to do at the time. Let's take a look at the original business case. I started writing the feasibility study guidelines for California in the early 70s. I've been teaching them for probably 20 years and at the college level. And lies, damn lies, and business cases is frankly a way of life in feasibility studies. You can prove just about anything you want to in them by your assumptions and constraints, how you set your baseline values, how you skew them. So you always have to be careful when you do these things. There's not much you can't prove in a business case if you adjust the assumptions constraints the right way. Authorship, I felt that it was being written primarily by a vendor, though the state was heavily involved in it, and I think that it probably should have been written by the customers that were going to be affected by it. In most places I work, customers do the business cases for something even of this magnitude, or at least they're heavily involved. I think that the business case ignored a significant amount of past experience in data center consolidation and initial planning did that could have been taken advantage of. And had I been an LFO and that business case would have come over, I might have been a lone voice saying this is not acceptable, because it was pretty obvious to me, though there was some decent work done in it, that it wasn't robust enough for what we were trying to do. The data was flawed, I think, that went in it, and I think that's the major reason why we're having trouble showing the cost savings. And I think there were flawed assumptions. And one of the things I find in these large projects, and whether it was in Alaska when we were doing our Alaska Lands and Resource System, or whether we were in California rewriting all the payroll personnel, whatever, is we get a mindset that something's going to be done, and then heaven help anybody who brings up any problems throughout the duration of it. And that mindset is something that I think happened on this particular one, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. And it's not uncommon, and people get excited and they want to do things. But I've talked with multiple people that had concerns that they said they expressed were afraid to express at the beginning of this project. And you've got to have an environment where people can express concerns early on. So I think there were very unrealistic cost expectations, and as I said, too much focus on cost savings too early. The next two charts are just real basic charts. I talked with corrections, and they were telling me that their basic cost per month at today's number $3,000 a month, and now they're $6,000. Okay, and we talked about why that happened. Ideally, what you would have seen in the promised cost saving scenario would be that you'd have the red line instead of the blue line. More realistic, from my experience in data center consolidations, and you'll see that. I actually saw this chart in one of the business cases, is the recognition that costs typically go up. I don't know how you can possibly relocate 12 data centers into a new one, build a brand new data center, and not have your costs be higher at the front end. And the idea that you can go from 155 down to 93 folks when at the beginning of something of this nature is frankly a little naive. And I think, and I don't know because I wasn't here, but when you hire consultants in from the outside, you hire them in because they have done this before over and over again. They ought to be able to tell you those types of things, and I'm surprised that that sort of problem occurred and that it was not addressed, because that's why you hire these folks. They do it over and over and over again. We only do it once every 30 years. Okay? So those two scenarios are the planned and the actual. I think we ought to frame the assessment a little differently here. I think we're focusing too much on the financial business case, and because the data that went into it, in my opinion, was flawed, it makes its use as measuring what we've done less than it should be. Now, had they included another 5 or 10 or 15 factors, then we could have had a success criteria of 10 or 15 things, and we could have looked at those, but primarily we have costs to look at. And I think we need to talk a little bit about how I think we need to frame the discussion. First of all, consolidations are occurring throughout the state governments. And if you look on slide 13, you'll see a report from NASIO that shows the states. They sent out a survey to all the states in the union. 29 of them responded. Of those 29, 27 were either doing consolidations or had completed them. I happen to know other states that have done them. For example, in California, we just finished merging Teal and the Health and Services Data Center as part of the performance review that Governor Schwarzenegger did. This shows very clearly that what we did here is not unusual, and that those are the types of things that states are doing all over the place, and we've been doing it for the last 40 years. We've been consolidating data centers. So, one, what we did was not uncommon. Okay. Two, why we did it, slide 14, is not unusual either. Again, that comes from NASIO's survey, and it shows the same reasons for us doing consolidation that other states are doing. We did it. They do it for disaster recovery, redundancy, fault tolerance, cost savings, security, aging facilities, size issues. Those are all things that we dealt with. And all reasons for why we did consolidation, and you'll see some of them actually in the business case. The fact that they were mentioned there and then not listed as or strongly shown as with values for each one of them for a benefit makes it difficult for us to use them now to say whether we did those things or not. Okay? Next page shows, 15 just shows my assessment of those reasons and did we do them or not and did we get value out of them. You notice that I have cost savings as red. I don't believe that cost savings there's been no cost savings. I don't believe that for a second. I think there have been cost savings already. I think they're difficult to show because the baseline data is so bad. A little later I'm going to talk about the number of people I think the data center should have in it versus what they have now. And I think there's been real cost savings. But when that base data is that bad, how can you tell if you saved anything? I don't know if we've improved information sharing and data integration. I've only had a couple of weeks. And I don't know if we've been able to take advantage of economies of scale yet. But when the consolidation occurs, and it will, when we actually move those boxes, the systems on those boxes, onto the final hardware, you will see economies of scale for sure. Okay? Next slide, 16. Challenges. I did some research on all the different challenges that we dealt with in outsourcing consolidation, and this is a list of them. NASIO also did an assessment of them. Every single one of these challenges we've had to deal with, and these are important, and they're common, very common. First of all, the agency's desire to remain independent and autonomous. I've been outsourced myself. I've been in the middle of two data center outsourcings in Montana. I was in San Diego when they were outsourcing their whole IT organization down there. There is a great desire to remain autonomous. There is management. I've never seen one yet that didn't have management resistance to it, nor staff resistance. I did not want to be outsourced when I was with the Avista Corporation, the EDS. I didn't. I didn't want to be outsourced. I didn't want my staff to be outsourced. I liked working for Avista. Okay? And in fact, I even did an internal bid and competed against IBM and EDS and didn't win. Okay? So I want you to understand these are real. They're common. You deal with them, and it's nothing personal. It's just the way it is. Unrealistic business case expectations happens every time. As I said, lies, damn lies in business cases. Poorly defined customer business processes and costs, fair to establish baseline costs, higher than anticipated costs, and you can just continue on down there. Every single one of those things happens when you do a consolidation in different degrees, and we're not unique. And that was my take on which ones that we were dealing with. Those of you who were here probably know them a lot better than I do, but I'd be very surprised if you didn't have every single one of those in this thing. So now let's take a look at slide 17. Slightly different look. The former CIO for Michigan is now the CIO in California. She outsourced everything in the state of Michigan, everything, to an internal IT organization. And she's now down in California trying to do similar things in a much more difficult environment, I can assure you. The governor there felt very strongly that IT was critical to state government and doing business, and I agree completely. And if you look at the slide on the next page, those of you who don't have the color one, it's probably slide 18. I view utilities and data centers as a utility service that should be turn the light on, turn the light off. That simple. Core to everything we do. You turn the power off, it doesn't matter for the rest of us. We take it for granted. I believe that data center should be treated the exact same way. We ought to be able to put enough energy and power and resources into that thing that it's there when we need it, and if we don't, we turn her off. Those two things, in my mind, are core, and if they're not in place, everything else, so that chain all the way out to service to the public goes away. That's one of the reasons why I tend to, when I prioritize in any government that I work with, I give my infrastructure and data center priority first, because without it, it doesn't matter about the rest of the stuff. So that's a standard. So that chain, understand that the value that the electricity gives us, the value that a data center gives us, gets lost out here in these areas, but they're still there. When we compare the value of that data center only on the old costs and the new costs, and we don't look at the value that it brings to IT, to the agency business, and to the public, it's a mistake. Difficult to cost and put value on, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. And that's why I believe we ultimately need to be treating our data center as a utility and give priority to the funding for it. Okay? And I've given the same speech to the Alaska legislature, the same speech to the Montana legislature. And if given the chance, I'd have given the same speech to the California legislature. Okay, but I didn't get a chance. 19 is what I call the perfect storm. Understand that the data center doesn't operate in a vacuum. This is a storm that every CIO and our state CIO deals with every single day here. You notice in the bottom right is our financial cloud that we deal with. We have constraints. IT costs are going up. Let me give you an example. I just finished replacing a system in California that one person wrote, one person maintained for about 9 years, and I came in the middle of it and had to finish it. It took 4 years to write it, 100 people to write it, okay, over 4 years, and it took 15 parts of 15 people to maintain it, and 43 software products. And you know what the old one used? 3 software products, including OS2 Warp, if you can imagine. So I want you to understand that everything's getting more expensive and more complicated. And what we used to do by ourselves, one of us, now you have to have a whole army of folks to do. That runs costs up. The California legislature asked me very clearly, why, Bob, does everything get far more and more and more expensive? And we did about a 5-10-page white paper on that. Understand, we're being driven by revenue streams out there and by demand from customers that puts tremendous impacts on us financially. This four set of clouds here are the things that IT works within. It's what Dugan has to deal with as the state CIO every single day. Financial constraints, security, disaster planning, the need to integrate and get our organizations to talk to one another, human resources, folks are getting older, technology, you can't keep up with it, there's not enough hours in the day to read the stuff, service demands and expectations are going up, technology obsolescence. I just finished a $120 million plan for the California State Legislature for the technology. You can't believe that even with an $88 million a year budget down there, how far behind that organization's technology is. And that's a small one. DMV, SCO, and corrections were $1.3 to $1.6 billion for their modernization efforts. By the way, a majority of those got turned down because of the $18 billion deficit. But these things are breaking. And we've got to try to keep that stuff going at the same time. The data center is dealing with that in the equipment that was brought over and the software. Tech trends, things are changing left and right, and, of course, e-business. I want you to understand that data center operates in the middle of the storm and has to deal with all these, and so does the CIO for the state, and so does every CIO in here. And I believe the data center is critical to it, and that's why I don't think we should focus on costs only with respect to that data center and its value. So let's summarize here for a moment the fact that this was more than just a data center consolidation effort. Okay? Be frank with you, it was an outsourcing effort. When I was with EDS and we outsourced an agency, we did one agency at a time. We had we had 27 data centers around the world, plus we had 90,000 staff, and we had billing algorithms, and we wanted their business. And we were ready, and when we went in, we either took their people or they got rid of them, and we moved their stuff to our machines, and we rolled. What did we try to do here? 10 to 12 data centers all at the same time. Okay? So 10 departments at the same time with no data center. No data center manager, no data center infrastructure, no data center business model, no nothing. The business case, from my perspective, didn't even take that into account. That is extremely complicated to do. And the SDC has had to try to build the factory, okay, while it's building cars at the same time. And that's one of the reasons why the costs have been up and why it's been very challenging. And they've made progress. They've got the data center up, it's running, et cetera. But I don't want you to understand, do not underestimate how hard it was to try to do 10 to 12 data centers all at the same time. It's hard enough to fight some of these issues with one data center, much less all of them. Certainly not impossible, though. Cost avoidance is a major thing. Technology modernization, which we saw in a perfect storm. Process improvement and quality, silo busting and enterprise focus, staff retooling. We changed our business model completely. Before, every agency did their own ITs. Now, we basically outsourced to a utility, SDC, with a chargeback model that wasn't in place and still needs to be adjusted. And so we're starting to re-architect. I can't even begin to tell you how bad the architecture is in most IT organizations. We've got 30 years of silo building Winchester House architecture. That data center gets impacted by that every day. We're re-engineering, and of course we got security and disaster recovery issues left and right. So enough of the preaching on that one, but as you can tell, I have some passion about this particular one because we did a whole lot more than we gave ourselves credit for. How'd we do? I'll summarize here and then I'll give some specifics. I think Scenic was the right thing to do. Things didn't go as well as they should have. That shouldn't be surprising when it's that complicated. I think there were unrealistic promised cost savings that were not achieved. It was not a failure by any stretch of the imagination. The performance is being measured by the wrong criteria in my mind. It should not be dollars only and not rates only. And if it is rates, it's not rates of what the agencies used to do and what we got now, but rates relative to what the industry standards are. Okay? We got a new data center with 10 agencies operating in it. Some agencies are paying higher costs. I've seen that. Okay, part of that's how the data came over. Understand this, and don't take it personal, CIOs, but I've been one. They come into outsourcing, you got a choice. You can give them the accurate numbers if you know them for your business, or you can give them low numbers. If you give them accurate numbers, they're going to take a big part of your budget and take your people with them, and you don't want to lose it to begin with. If you turn around and give them the low numbers, you now have just put the receiving data center manager in a very awkward position of not having enough people and money to provide you the service that you want. And it's a catch-22 for you, and I've been there, and I've had to do it. When I was at DHS up in Washington, we took our data center and moved it to DIS and said, I don't want to mess with it. Okay? You do that for a living. Make it a utility. I just want to turn it on, turn it off. Okay? Understand, though, that it's very difficult to do what we've done. I think we're getting recognition for our efforts across the country. People are calling. They're looking at what we've done. We may not have done everything perfect, but they recognize how difficult it was what we did, and they want to learn from our lessons learned. So that's in general. Let's just run down through what we did right. Build a quality data center. I think the lift and drop went pretty well. I talked with, I think, John at Corrections, and John said, with the exception of one problem with email, it went great. One day, he didn't know the difference, and he shouldn't. And I think the data center has a history of doing some pretty non-event type things very successfully. And by the way, you typically never get credit for those. It's always the ones that you mess up that you get credit for. Been there myself, so if you see some sensitivity, it's because in our business, if you're the Maytag repairman, you're doing a great job. Basic SDC data center business is in place. The data center managers had to put a business in, a chargeback and a business and a relationship and governance working with the CIOs. We have basic governance in place. I think you did a great job of working with your staff and getting those folks over. It's very frustrating for them. They love their agencies. Now they got to go to a new place. They're frightened. You've had to reclassify them. But in general, I haven't seen a lot of grievances. I haven't seen a lot of major problems. And I'm sure not everyone was happy. But not bad at all. And I think you should be pleased with the job you did in working with the unions and stuff like that. I think in general the service is over or above what it was with the agencies, but some agencies have told me that they have a periodically lower level service, but that it's improving. And so in general, I think we're doing okay. I think we have a very strong, dedicated data center team over there that frankly needs our support. I think security and disaster planning in general are better than before we outsourced. I don't know how you can have worse security when you have 15 agencies and worse disaster planning and you move them all into one place if you don't change anything. I think it's better. I've seen some additional things have been put in. I do think there are problems that still need to be dealt with, but those problems were there before. Personal opinion, two weeks haven't looked at it, okay? You got your CIOs meeting regularly with one another, okay? That's a good thing. That's an enterprise focus. We're getting energy savings out the yin-yang. Remember, we had 28,000 square foot of space. We have 16,000, I believe, now. And we've got energy savings there. We're getting recognition. And I think we've hired some great folks and some great data center managers over there, too. Next page, just an example. This is an example of the good things to come. This is why you centralize certain things, so that when you're at an agency and you've got your own money, and particularly if you have independent money, it doesn't come from general fund, you get federal funds, things like we used to get when I was at WISDOT in Washington or whatever, we did what we darn well pleased. We put our own network in, our own data center in, et cetera, and I guarantee you, the state of Washington had a network that didn't look much worse or much better than that. This over here is what we can have, okay? And that's one of the benefits that will be forthcoming once we move forward on some of these things. The things that went wrong, we had two oversight reports that were very thorough in what went wrong on the project. I'm not going to repeat all those things there, but you can read down through them. Log business case, we didn't plan enough at the front end, didn't recognize this was an outsourcing effort, much more complicated. We underestimated what it takes to set up a data center business. We didn't utilize industry consolidation best practices. I'm just blown away by the fact that it doesn't seem like we did research anywhere else to see how this is done and have lessons learned going into this thing. It takes, you know, getting on the Internet in an afternoon and you can get that kind of stuff. Probably being a little harsh there, but it's just the stuff is obvious, and you hire consultants in to make sure that stuff isn't missed. I think that there were cases where we didn't have sufficient consolidation experienced staff. We didn't look at our lessons learned feedback properly. I don't think we listened at times to our consultants. As a consultant with EDS, people used to hire me in and then not follow what I recommended. That's okay at times. But when it's done purely for political reasons or the wrong reasons, that's not good. And I think there were cases in this deal where we got good advice from our consultants and didn't follow it. Okay, I don't think we managed the scope very well. There was passive resistance. It was at the beginning. I think it's still there now. And I'd be shocked if it wasn't there now. And just been there. Okay? I think there was inadequate project controls and governments. And I don't think that appropriate documentation at the level you need to run that data center and do lift and drop, et cetera, is in place. And I don't think the agency's had it before, and I don't think that they've given, as a whole, appropriate documentation, which makes it possible for the data center to be effective. Where we are, first of all, and these phases are my phases. They're not phases that actually existed in the project. We got the planning business case done. We built the data center. We got 10 agencies over there, and we started to build the business and stabilize the infrastructure. We're at the point now where we need to start the consolidation. Consolidation, in my mind, has practically not started. It starts when we start moving agencies onto the new boxes. And there is a phased consolidation approach in the annual plan that the data center put together. I'd like to see a more robust effort to get it done more sooner, and but that's done. Next page, we're not going to go over that. That's a SWOT analysis, an initial one. I could have done this thing 15 pages. There's that many strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, okay? Trust me, I could have done it easily. But there's a start for where we're at on different things. Current challenges, and this is the meat from my perspective. There's some ongoing myths and misperceptions out there that I'm going to talk about in a moment. There's a problem with the data center funding and FTEs. I think they're both inadequate for what they need to do, and they're not consistent with the industry standards. I think we need to move past the past promises that have been made. I think, as Scott said in a letter just recently, that's all water under the bridge. Okay, we need to move forward. Cost and SEC, DC rates, I don't think that they are fair across the agency. It seems to me that some of the lower, smaller agencies are getting an inordinate hit for certain things, and I think the SEC billing algorithm needs to be adjusted. In fact, a pass-through capability for some costs needs to be put in there to level things out for the organizations. I'm not an expert on algorithms for data centers, but there's been a common complaint, not just that they're too high, but they seem to be not consistent with the level of services different organizations are asking for. I think the rumors that are in the press, whether they're true or not, are a problem. I think that the SDC, and this is me personally, a data center manager doesn't have enough control over his environment to be successful. I think he needs to be given more authority for certain things. And let's see, passive resistance, we've talked about that. Services and expectations growth, they're growing like crazy. One thing we need to remember is if I mow my lawn, I have one expectation. Mark my word, Lori. If I ask you to mow my lawn, my expectations are a lot higher. And I think the data center deals with that at the moment. The minute you move things over, your expectations from the data center tends to go up. That's been my experience. I think that there is spending on things. I've seen some spending on things that, in my mind, why would you buy additional servers when the utilization rate of some of the servers is still low? Okay? I think that that needs to be looked at, and there's next to last item. We're not going to be able to take advantage of economies of scales if agencies are not willing to use the same tools. And I know that's hard because you get locked into one, your staff's all trained, you've got 100 applications, and now you've got to now start using the same tools that other agencies do. But if you don't do that, how can you reduce the number of tools you have? When I was at CalPERS, we had 1,537 separate tools in one organization. And the agencies or the departments fought me tooth and nail on that. Imagine trying to do that across 10 agencies at the same time. But if we don't do it, we will not be able to take advantage of those economies of scale. And so recent issues in the press, I'm going to hit them real high because I've already touched most of them. Cost savings, there have been some, but it's hard to prove. I think you'll see a bunch more of them coming when, because the baseline data is bad, when you get to a few years out here and the consolidation is in place. Service costs, I think service costs are not equal across agencies, but I believe that service costs, when you look at national costs for services that are done to the data center, go to Arkansas, Texas, California, we're below them. Okay? And I think that's the criteria we should be using, is not, how does it compare with what we had in the past, but how does it compare nationwide? Space, there's been complaints about space. The data center has more than enough space. What it doesn't have is space for staff. And we've got to get the consolidation done, set a staging area up in the data center, turn around, and once the consolidation's there, then we can take another part of that data center room and make room for additional staff. There's more than enough space over there. We were not planning initially to pick up 10 data centers and move them into that building. Okay? By the way, that was the right thing to do at the time. But that wasn't the plan, and that's one of the reasons why we're having some problems with the electrical power and things of that nature, plus the fact that it was underdesigned. It was underdesigned at $55, I think, a square foot. It should have been at $110. Okay? So, security, I've told you what I feel about that. I think it's better than it was when it was out in the agencies, just personal opinion. Disaster planning, same way, business continuity. I don't believe it's worse. I do believe that we need to improve all three of those areas. All right. Misperceptions. We're getting towards the end, guys. Okay? Misperceptions. I had 60 of them. I pared it down to 15. Okay? First one, myth one, project shouldn't have been done. Not true. Project was a failure. Not true. Business case was compelling. I believe there is a compelling business case. I believe the one that we have in place is not that one. Okay? You could add to it and make it compelling very easily. No scenic cost savings ever. I actually saw that in an article. Okay? I don't believe that for a second. SDC data center was poorly designed. That is a well-designed data center. It's got flexibility to add additional generators. It has flexibility to, as far as how it's moving things around, as UPS. It's well designed. It was under designed, in my opinion, in the power, but there probably was a good reason for that, and the reason probably was that we had a fixed price for what that data center would cost, and so when you do, that's what you deal with. And by the way, you also design a data center based upon how you're going to use it to begin with. okay, with the idea that you can upgrade it later if things change. All right? Miss 6, SEC is providing poor service. That's not been the experience I've gotten in talking with folks. The agency's had a clear picture of their costs. I don't believe that all the agencies did. Chargeback rates are too high. That's not what I see relative to national rates. SEC has adequate funding and staff. I think we're underfunded and staffed. And I can show you numbers that go up to as high as 275 for what we're doing. Security is worse. We covered that disaster. Consolidation is simple. We've covered that one. Little no resistance. We've covered that one. Myth 14, SDC success is in its own hands. Not true. That data center is in a partnership with 10 agencies. It is not in any way, shape, or form. Its success is mastered its own success. It's not the case. And myth 15, the consolidation is done. All we've done is lift and drop. Big deal, but that's all we've done. There's a lot of hard work to get all those data center applications onto the final data sets or data hardware. All righty. Is it amazing how my bottom line, instead of being a couple lines like it should be, is two pages? Again, right thing to do, not a failure, not completed, not another one. 30 years of siloed architecture, you're not going to fix overnight, period. Not going to happen. Doesn't happen anywhere. Okay? Let's see. We covered most of these already. On that page, smaller agencies, I think, pay a disproportionate amount of the SDC's bill. That's my personal opinion. I think the algorithm needs to be adjusted. I think the figures that it was based on as a baseline were flawed and that they all need to be adjusted. I think we should be measuring the costs and rates of that data center based on industry standards, not on what the agency did before versus what they do now, what the data center does now. SDC has a plan for consolidation in the next 3 or 4 years, and SDC cannot be successful on its own. Next to last slide, next steps. DAS has an annual plan. In general, I like it. It has 8 focus areas, and consolidation planned to occur over the next 3 to 4 years, driven by funding available for SDC technological refreshes. In my opinion, it would be difficult for the data center to come and ask for additional money and additional people right now, which is exactly what I feel they need. Okay? So in order to move forward, they're going to try to use the funding that they have that's coming forward for technology refreshes to help fund the consolidation effort. I believe that we should do a more proactive approach on that and get the savings earlier, not that I underestimated it. And the last page is the most important for me of the whole presentation, and thank you for bearing with me through this, okay? Let's finish the job we've started. There's no failure in any way, shape, or form. No one has, we made some mistakes, but we certainly don't need to be ashamed of what's been built. We need to survey both SDC and the agencies for what's needed to finish the job, because it's not just at the data center. We need to develop a joint SDC agency go-forward plan. This should not be the data center sitting over there figuring out how I'm going to do consolidation and then dragging the agency kicking and screaming one at a time onto the new hardware. Okay? It needs to be a joint responsibility in which a plan is put together by both groups, not a matter of the data center building it and then the governance group approving it, but rather the governance group and the agency working together to build a plan. I'll tell you a brief story, very brief. I worked for Glenn Jackson. Glenn Jackson was H. Ross Perot's one of the first people to be hired, and he was Glenn Action Jackson, the guy who went, the armament specialist who went to Tehran to rescue the 2 EDS employees. Glenn was at the Washington Water Power account and got a phone call one day from his boss and said, Glenn, I'm going to change how I pay you. I'm not paying you anymore on how your account performs. I'm going to pay you on how Iowa Electric performs, and I'm going to pay you on how Enron performs. Well, Glenn had been keeping all the best people in his account, not sharing them with anybody. So I asked him, well, what did you do about it? He says, well, first of all, I got angry about it. And then he said, you know what I did? I got on the phone and I called that account manager at Iowa Electric and asked him what in the hell he was doing over there to run my pay. and I sent in my best people over there to get the job done. What his boss had effectively done is put Glenn in the same boat with those other managers. They were committed to the success of one another. And I'm not seeing the data center and the departments being committed to the success of one another. Yes, they work together, et cetera, but there needs to be some accountability that it's not the data center failing, it's the data center and the departments failing together because they have a, or succeeding together because they have a common plan. I think SDC needs additional funding, but I certainly don't know how much. I think they need additional staff. I think they're understaffed. Right now, they're using all their staff to just keep things running. They don't have hardly any staff to do the consolidation, and it should be uninterruptible staff when you do that anyway. So I believe they need additional staff to expedite the consolidation. And I think that if you looked at the plans, the work plans for the agencies, you might not see a consolidation plan in any of theirs for the next 1 to 5 years. I don't know that to be the case. But they need to prioritize their consolidation in their work plans and get it, because I tell you what happens, you're so busy doing everything else that you put that one off. And I think we need to bounce that out higher up in the organization's priorities. I think SDC needs more control over certain processes in order to be successful. You hold them responsible for something, and they've got this much of it, but they don't have this part here that the agency still own, and it makes it hard for them to be successful. I think governance needs to be worked on. We talked about pass-through billing, common performance success measures across the agencies and SDC, not just SDC performance measures, but agency and SDC. I'd like to see some SLAs in place. I'd like to see an increased agency willingness to use common products and tools, even though it might cost them in the short run. It'll improve it for the enterprise in the long run. And then there's been a suggestion that we do a benchmark of SDC, okay, from outside. Gartner, IBM, Hackett, pick your vendor. If you want to do that, fine. However, when you do it, bring them in and also have them do the same benchmark on 3 or 4 of the key customers of the agency, because I think that you need both benchmarks to tell the whole story. So, in any event, that was my executive summary. That's probably more than you wanted to know. My apologies, but when you only have 2 weeks to do something, you don't have time to get it down to the nice, probably 8 slides that Dallas did, or probably 5 that Mark will do next here. But in any event, that's my take, guys, after just looking at this for 2 weeks. That's the best I've got from my 4 years of experience. I'm speaking candidly. If I've offended or hurt anyone's feelings, please accept my apology. But I was asked very clearly to give them my 2 cents worth, and I've done that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I don't think you need to apologize for anything. We want to hear exactly what we need to hear and not what we think we want to hear. So I appreciate questions. Yes, Representative Stafford.
I have a question. You were just talking a little bit about Glenn Jackson being held accountable for or being paid based on how these other entities performed. I'm wondering, how would you get a similar type of dynamic going in between the data center and the agencies, you know, to ensure that their success depends on...
Well, I know that those aren't particularly easy. When I worked in Washington, Governor Locke put in a quality program, Q2000, which had outcomes and outputs and accountability measures for an agency. In fact, where I picked that up was I was at a Vista Corporation sitting at a table one day, and I was sitting in for my boss, and I, of course, being shy, he asked me what I thought about something. I said, I think every vice president at this table is sitting here thinking that they can survive while the person next to them fails. And I don't know if any of you have ever sat in a boardroom where you felt you were on your own there. I think that what you have to do is put them all in the same canoe, and what you've got to do is find a common set of measures and goals where we win together or we lose together, such that and you notice that Glenn's boss got he's got his attention. I don't know that I have all the answers at the moment, but I would be willing to bet you that you could sit down with the data center manager and the CIOs, and they could come up with a criteria for measuring data center success and their success in mutual accountability. And I don't know what they'd all be at the moment off the top of my head. It's a great question. I just take some time to model it and to figure it out. But they're a very bright group of people. I'm sure they would have no problem figuring it out. We might not like to do it, but we should.
Other questions from the committee?
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Bob, this is very instructive. Thank you for coming and sharing your candid views with us. There's a lot to take in, and as I looked at all this, the specifics, myths and what we did right and what didn't go so well, it seems to me that this whole issue is about process as much as anything. And so my question is not just with regard to what we do with the data center, but I mean, the state has a number of IT projects going. Owen is certainly a big one. What would you recommend, given that you said, you know, business cases are, I think you said it, unrealistic business cases happens every time. You made reference to inadequate project controls and governance. Certainly, you know, we're lay people, citizen legislature. We're not IT experts. What would you recommend that the legislature does to improve oversight and controls?
Okay. Well, we're working on some of that already. When I first came on board, I went straight to DAS, to Sean McFadden, and to Dugan Petty, and said, look, I'm going to be over here reviewing things as they come into the legislature. I want to be reviewing them with the same set of tools, questions, and processes that you are, so that we're not, one, not driving the agencies crazy, but two, that we're requiring the same sorts of things to come through. For example, when a project comes through, the first thing is we call them gate 1, 2, and 3 tests when we were at the legislature. Gate 1 is straight face. You've got to be kidding. You really want to spend money on that? Okay, you've got to get through that first test. Gate 2 is the business case. And the business case needs to be robust, but it needs to take into account more than just FTEs and monies. There's also other questions. Is it in alignment with the strategic direction that the state's going? Is it in alignment with the strategic IT direction for the agency? And there's a set of questions and checklists. And my boss, Ken Rocco, has asked me to put together an overview of oversight for the state for IT projects two ways. The budget process when they come through, and of course there's differences for the three branches because oversight's done in a slightly different way. And then also four things that come into the emergency board. And so the thing that you're talking about, oversight, if you take a look on DAS's site, they've got a process for oversight that describes a lot of those things. And I'm trying to put in the exact same type of thing over in the LFO so that we're mirroring what they do. Now, I think we need to improve how we review these business cases, et cetera, because this particular one was very visible. And I'm not saying it was all bad, because it had a lot of good stuff in it, too. But it got through the process. And we need to stop. Okay? So I would recommend that, in general, we get it defined clearly, what oversight is and what things have got to go through, a project's got to go through, and everything's checked off before it's even looked at. Because before it gets to the legislature, we should have already asked these tough questions. I was in an emergency board hearing where I heard one of the legislators ask, well, why didn't you use our system over here? We already got it. You shouldn't have to build that. That shouldn't have been caught there. That should have been caught long before. Okay? We need to know what exists already out there. You shouldn't be expected to know that we already have a system that does that or one in progress that does it. But it's incumbent upon the executive branch and the judicial branch to provide oversight that gets it to a point where you're making the decisions based on what you know and can do versus having to try to be an IT expert. We should be catching that for you. It should never get to you and not be right. Okay? It happens, and it's not easy, but that's how I do it.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems to me that the budget, the execution and administration of state agencies, the buck stops with the governor. The budgeting process, the buck stops with the legislature. And as I said before, we're not IT experts. And so what I'm fishing for here is a change in process that gives us that insight. And right now we have a new LFO expert that happens to have in yourself happens to have vast IT experience. We may or may not always have that. So my constituents are going to call me when they hear about the newspaper reports and whatnot, and they are going to lay a lot of that blame with the legislature. And as a non-expert in these issues, I would like to be able to have some expertise around. Beyond just an auditing after the fact, which is a topic we've talked about in this committee as well. But.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll take a stab at that a little bit. Bob's position is a permanent one. It's not happenstance that he's an IT professional. It was a position carved out and provided for by the Assembly so that you would expect the LFO to have that continued expertise. He will also staff the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. I should like to go back to that 2001 session where the Ways and Means Committee formed up that subcommittee that dealt with all the IT issues. That was very helpful from our standpoint in LFO, and we reiterated that each session to the co-chairs of Ways and Means that it would be a good way for us, the legislature, to get a handle on these things and measure them against each other. With we can't say what the co-chairs are going to do, but with Bob's expertise in-house, you would expect us to provide that sort of review and working with the. He's going to be. He has no other budgetary responsibilities. I understand it right. If you look at his job assignment, is JLC, IMT, and IT stuff. So he's got the shortest list and probably the biggest plate.
Can you bring something interesting up that JLC, IMT, which doesn't seem to exist? This seems to be the only IT committee in existence at this point. Fortunately, I am an IT professional, and I can look at these. I worked for major banks doing when we bought other banks, doing those conversions and building new data centers and putting them together. So I also worked for Ross Perot at one point. So and he can be very direct. It's,
yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. But so can I. And I think that one of the things that I see that we need to do, and by the way, I wasn't on the 2001 legislature. I wasn't in that committee. I was in the 2005 JLCIMT, but I sat at the end of the bench.
Right.
And it was a whole different makeup and a whole different way to look at things, I believe, than what we have now. And I want to make sure that all agencies are no longer, if they ever were, and I'm not sure that that's the case, but you are, that they're no longer afraid to come up and tell us what they need, what's going wrong, and why. I think we can deal with that in a good way. I appreciate your testimony. I'm going to be talking with you more. I think we've got a lot to talk about. Any other further questions for these? Thank you very much for your testimonies. Secretary of State, if you guys would come up and...
Sorry, I don't know. no problem.
I'm going to call this meeting to order. The Government Accountability and Information Technology Committee, and sorry for being late. There's a lot of farm machinery between here and Hillsboro. Thank you for being here. Just to identify yourself and going right over your...
Well, thank you, Chair Riley, committee members. For the record, I'm Chuck Kibner. I'm the director of the Audits Division. Thank you for having us here to discuss our most recent audit of the data center. With me today are Neil Weatherspoon and Erica Ungern. Neil and Erica, along with a few other folks from our office, conducted the most current audit work. In fact, they did the prior audit work on the data center as well. Neil's a 15-year employee with the Audits Division, 10 years of IT experience. He is a certified information systems auditor, assistant, as well as a certified information systems security professional, also known as a CISSP or CISSP group, as his wife likes to refer to it. Erica has been with the division 8 years, and she started with us as an IT audit professional, and she is a CISA as well. I'm here just to provide a little context, I guess, for you before I turn it over to the real professionals in our office to talk about it. But what I did want to mention before we got into the present audit was to talk a little bit about the prior audit, which led to the present audit. And as you probably well remember, Chair Riley, we presented on that audit report in front of JLCIMT when you were sitting at the end of the bench, as you described it. And through that audit, we did raise some concerns around project planning, and it was very much agreed to by the Department of Administrative Services. In fact, then Director Lindsay Ball asked us to come back and look at some of the planning efforts that were going to be going forward. In fact, he wanted us back next spring to look at the consolidation planning that they were going to do. And we promised to do that. We came back to do that. That's what led to this audit work. We did add a couple other objectives around looking at the operations and the security, which is why we're here. We're talking about that work and the poor report that was a result of that. So with that, I guess I'll turn it over to Neil and Eric and let them tell you about the report.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Neil Weatherspoon, and I've been introduced by our director, and with that said, a couple of preliminaries I'd like to get over with, and that would be that I'd like to thank all the members of the State Data Center staff that over the years have put up with us. We're back. We've been there a long time. I have to congratulate Erica for all the good work that she has done there. And as we've progress through these last few years and looking at the data center, have to admit that, or this, especially over this audit, that data center employees at every level have been candid with us. They provided us with the information that we needed to, and we believe that that information gave us basis for providing and obtaining that sufficient, competent, relevant evidence necessary to make judgment calls. And as auditors, we have a tendency to have to, because that's our job, make judgment calls. The word for auditing really should be accountability. We're here to provide candid and direct and fair and competent evaluations of various activities that have occurred and how the state spends its money and how we operate here. The purpose of this particular audit, of course, was to evaluate the status, as Chuck mentioned, the status of the department's effort to re-engineer the SDC. On our last audit, as we were here, probably the greatest issue that we found was that the data center was then being populated without a plan. and that it was, as has been mentioned, was a lift and drop type of a scenario where everyone was going to be placed within the data center as they were in their previous environment. And then afterwards, it was to be put together and consolidated. And the director of the Department of Administrative Services indicated that at that time, that where we were saying we didn't see a plan, that they were formulating a plan. The plan really did exist, and that we could come back and look at it and view that plan and see how that was going, and that we would be proud of that. We took him up on that offer. You should never invite an auditor to dinner, by the way, because we have a tendency to be very critical of the cook sometimes. And in this case, we went back to see, you know, what that plan existed. And so Erica was in the SDC for a number of months looking for the plan. And to make a long story short, she still hasn't seen a plan. And I think that that is pretty much what our previous speaker has indicated, that it's still kind of lift and drop over there, that consolidation still hasn't existed. And this concerns us as audit professionals and IT professionals. One of the things that has occurred is that the money has been spent and that the promises have been made. And at this time, the promises, to a great extent, have not come forward. And we have not seen some of the major objectives of which consolidation was based. And I have to be the first one to chime in and indicate that those intents and that those objectives were correct. Those are things that should occur, and that must occur in order for us to achieve the savings, which is the ultimate goal, I believe, one of the ultimate goals anyway, is that they'll achieve those savings through consolidation. And I think that's been clear in previous testimony, that will not occur until consolidation occurs. Consolidation occurs as we viewed it at the time of our audit. It had not occurred, that we were still in that lift and drop state, that there were some things that specifically had, and probably on page 2 of the report, there's some bulleted items there that showed us, showed the world, I guess, what our concerns were. Some were that at that time, as we were looking at the information that was before us, it had still not been really defined what the end state or architecture of the FCC would be. We weren't sure. We weren't sure the destination for which we were going. Number 2 was that reducing it, we had not seen that reduction of network servers or operating system platforms. That's another way of saying consolidation had not occurred yet. Providing additional enhanced enterprise disaster recovery or security service for SDC clients, we had also did not see that occurring. That although projects were ongoing and things were occurring on a spot basis, the overall objectives had not been reached, and we were seeing pretty much business as it existed prior to, which, by the way, wasn't very good when it comes to security, or it was non-existent with disaster recovery. That one of the major objectives of consolidation, I guess, makes something big into something smaller, was the reduction of staffing levels. That had not occurred. By the way, as we were looking through the numbers and things, the majority probably of all the cost savings that could occur would most likely occur through reductions in staff. They're the things that keep going around and keep costing you things. As you reduce the number of operating systems and things like that, you'll take a one-time hit that maybe you won't have to buy two licenses, you'll buy one, those kinds of things. Or if you buy consolidate two machines to one machine, you still end up buying that bigger machine, and then the other two machines get either shelved or used in another way or whatever. whatever, but still, you know, those are one-time kinds of savings, where reduction of staff is one of those savings that keeps going on and on and on. And that's one of the focuses and one of the primary reasons why we want to do this kind of thing, is not only to provide better services, but to do them in with less staff, which enables you, by the way, to also deal with increased in demand as it will occur. I don't know how many of you have ever had a personal PC that had maybe 20 gigabytes of memory or hard disk space and thought that that was going to last you forever, and then last year found out that your 500 gigabyte had been gobbled up by your wife's pictures. Same kind of thing can happen and does happen, and we should plan for it to happen, and therefore we need to get better with what we're doing. And the last bullet point that we brought forth is that consolidation of operating procedures needs to occur, and that also is one of those savings kinds of things, and provide and enables people to do things more efficiently, which equates to cost savings and equates to better services being performed, because now you don't have 16 different recipes for cookies. You've got, you know, one in which people get very good at. So in essence, as we were going back and through this passage of time, we really didn't see that occur. We didn't see that the significant expenditures that were provided, or the amounts for those expenditures that the legislature provided the Department of Administrative Services to provide for this data center, that equated to the product from which we felt that we were, that the state was purchasing. And that ongoing, we, you know, as we looked at this, and if you'll kind of tune back into the recommendations that we provided, we still are a firm believer that consolidation needs and must go forward. However, there were some roadblocks that we identified in there in the cause section. One of them was that we didn't see the managerial structure that would provide that guidance and direction and responsibility for consolidation efforts. That we didn't see that was there in order to, we didn't see the people were dedicated to doing that consolidation effort. What we saw there was a whole lot of people, very, very good people, IT professionals working for the agency, working at the data center, just trying to keep the lights on and trying to get the work done and doing a very good job of it. Since it's been consolidated, things have gone on, and payments have been made from systems, and lots of things have occurred. But those things also were occurring before the data center consolidation effort existed. And therefore, looking at that success doesn't necessarily mean that the overall success of the project was good. Because what we're, as auditors, we're kind of pragmatic. We're saying, hey, we bought $64 million worth of consolidation. Now, where is it? Is pretty much the question. Another thing that we saw that concerned us is that at the time that we exited the audit, we still did not see those definitive plans, that roadmap that would get you from point A to a destination of point B. And by the way, also on that roadmap, we didn't see where that destination point B actually was. We don't know exactly how you're going to get there, because we don't really know exactly where you're going. And along that same route, because the money has already been spent, we didn't see the sufficient amount of dedicated resources, the funding, the staffing, all those things that it would take for a consolidation effort to go forward. What we've been asking the agency really to do since we went into the data center is do consolidation with existing staff. of which, as I said, those staff are busy doing the things which that they're hired to do. They're to keep the lights on, to keep the utility running, and to do all those things, and to actually achieve that consolidation effort, of which didn't occur during the first part of the scenic, and during the entire scenic project. When that didn't occur, then now we're going to expect them to do that. A term that I use is out of your garage. It's one of those things. You can't expect something from nothing. It's going to cost. It's going to take an immense amount of effort. I wholeheartedly agree with previous testimony that said that it was underestimated how difficult and how complex and how much it would take to put this thing together. As an IT auditor, we've audited numerous systems, almost all of the major systems that are housed at the data center. We have gone in and taken a peek at those individual systems and dealt with the individual agencies that are responsible for those systems, and we know the complexities. And the complexities are enormous. And it's not like the private sector, where you may have a focus on a single type of industry, like banking. This is very, very diverse. Very, very diverse. We have needs that in some instances, unless we, as IT auditors, saw some feasibility, I'm not sure that it can be consolidated. To a certain extent, certain things certainly can be consolidated, but not necessarily. We don't know to what degree. We haven't seen the feasibility. We haven't seen the plans. We haven't seen the end product. We don't know where we're going, and therefore, I think, and we believe, and we base that our conclusions on that. So, with all that in mind, then the harsh or seemingly harsh conclusion that we're not, that we made at the end of that suction, that says it's unlikely that the scenic project funds that were expended would be actually recouped. And we don't know whether they will or whether they won't, but we feel that it's unlikely. When we see a plan, when we see the roadmap, when we see the action, gone forth to provide that structure that it would enable that to occur, when we see that, then that judgment, of course, would change. Moving on to another section of the report, as we were there, one of the things that we're really concerned about as auditors, because we also, at the Secretary of State, perform the financial audits of the state, and so we want to know where the environment in which all of those systems, including our financial systems, exist, whether they're secure, whether they're operating in with good controls. We saw some things that were of significant concern to us in that respect. One was that it's somewhat related to the consolidation thing, and that has to do with operations. And we expect within the this newly formed data center that there would be uniformity in operations, that there would be policies and procedures and processes. That would give some assurance that things were under control. What we saw to a great extent was exactly what was previously depicted, a lift and drop kind of thing. We saw all the agencies over there. And so it's kind of like I just got back from a family reunion. And it's much like going to a family reunion. You got a whole lot of families together in a small area performing the best they can as a family, but the dynamics have certainly changed. And so the ability to perform effectively and efficiently and safely in that environment necessarily has to be altered, and we didn't see that alteration occurring. So some of the things that we saw there that concerned us were that there wasn't that agreement or service level, that there wasn't that not only cross-pollination, but that agreement between the agencies and the state data center as to exactly who would be responsible for what. So now we've gone to the family picnic, and we're not sure who's going to bring the potato salad. In sort of vernacular, we really don't know in many instances, you know, who is going to do it, be responsible for some of the more critical elements of just operations, because everyone was instructed to bring your own. Some of them may have brought more dessert than they did meat. And so, you know, the meal may not be as balanced as what we would anticipate. And that there weren't standard operating procedures for scheduling and backup and tape management. Those things are low-hanging fruit, by the way, that if you were to consolidate, those are the first things probably that would be on your consolidation list, would be to have those standard processes for doing the standard kinds of things that you're doing day in, day out. And what we saw was still that lift and drop kind of thing in most cases, where everyone was effectively doing the same thing with the same personnel on the same box in a different building. And then, of course, establishing a planning process for review and resolution of performance and capacity management issues. Being all together, it's a different scenario than when you're in by yourself. We didn't see that as being a robust process. And developing processes for managing the configuration even of the SDC infrastructure, we didn't see that as a cohesive process that was going on. I guess probably one of the terms that we would have and use in that regard would be a lot like what we have been describing the data center consolidation occurring, and that's ad hoc. You know, it's kind of one of those things, got a problem, resolve the problem at hand, and hopefully it will fit with the rest of the stuff that goes on, and that's what we were seeing. And lastly, to implement controls to ensure compliance with software licensing requirements. That's another low-hanging fruit. When everything moved into the data center, we believe that data center management really didn't know what they had in inventory, because everyone bring all you bring and bring all that you have, but no one had a list. And so I think they probably found some things like software licenses that they didn't know existed that now they were responsible for, which, by the way, would alter your budget a little bit if you were then hereafter responsible for it, those kinds of occurrences. And still, we weren't convinced that they had a full handle on exactly what their inventory was. Then moving on to another major section had to do with, now we're in the data center, and we have created what you might term as a single point of failure, where before, if a data center had a disaster occur, one of the 12 or 10 or however many, if one of them did, that data center may go down, but the others, unless they were involved in that same disaster, wouldn't. But now, since they're all in one building and all, you know, sharing things, if things go down, it has a direct reflection and impact upon all the members that are there. So if you're at the family reunion and the lights go out and the oven goes off, everyone goes hungry. And what that, you know, creates a tremendous responsibility for the head of the household there, who would run that data center, not only responsibility to make sure that they can bring up the infrastructure after a disaster, but that it is coordinated, that the members, all the members of the family, in the proper order and frame according to the level of necessity and the level of criticality, that those would also be brought up in that proper order. And so there has to be a tremendous amount of coordination and agreement and all of that as to who's going to do what, when they're going to do it, and to make sure that has occurred. And that, as we viewed it, was non-existent. That did not occur. It had not. There was no plan. Of course, because there was no plan that had not been tested, there was no agreement between the agencies as to what, who would do what and when they would do it. Of course, as if you've read some of our other reports, you'll probably find out that that existed prior. That's what it was prior. If we were to go out to the ODOT's prior mainframe operation, we would have found the exact same thing. So bringing over, you know, all that you have is definitely one of those cases where you didn't bring over enough. And once you got here, we haven't created that which was necessary. And lastly, we did look at security and found, you know, that this is one of those forums, since it's public, that I can't get into a lot of detail here. And you understand that we've provided, I believe, the chair and hopefully the members of the committee with our confidential report on security and the agency's response to that. We believe that all of that is gave us sufficient and competent relevant evidence to make that overall broad statement that security continues to be just as it was prior to the consolidation, not good. And therefore, one of the things that I might want to add here is that during the initial planning of the data center and funding and things like that, some monies were spun off to do some specific work with in security, as Dallas had indicated. And right now, the Secretary of State has an ongoing audit of the Enterprise Security Office, of which we'll be looking at some of those major projects and major initiatives to ensure that House Bill 3145, that responsibility has occurred. And we'll be doing that. And hopefully sometime before the end of the year, we will have a report that we can provide you with some greater detail on that. With that, Chair, are there any questions that we could provide you?
Questions
answers
from the committee. Yes, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a clarifying question. I probably should have asked it to the previous panel, but we've been talking about the process, and you're talking more specifically about this audit in particular. Well, I should say I'm most interested in the process here because we've got a lot of IT projects in the state. The IT vendor that first constructed the business case, were they the vendor that also did the lift and drop, or was the lift and drop done in-house? And I should have asked that to the previous panel to get that clarification.
Mr. Chair and Representative Edwards, the answer to that is, you know, the lift and drop scenario, I believe, I'm not sure that I have a specific answer as to who came up with that. And the previous, you know, the initial vendor who came in and said this is how we're going to do it had a much different plan to consolidate. It was to consolidate things first or as they were being put into the data center. At the time that we first did our audit and we were looking at those plans, we found them to be, and the agency, by the way, found them to be completely infeasible. And the agency at that point, I believe, probably in consultation with their vendors, made the decision that they really weren't ready for that and that the lift and drop would then occur.
And I think you should save that for the CIO and the data center manager. I think that's a good question for them. Other questions? I have one. Do you believe that as our previous presenter said, the requirements or the expectations were the proper ones in the beginning? Do you believe that the management summary or the presentation to the legislature emphasized the proper outcomes?
Mr. Chair, and previously in my testimony I indicated that what we were looking at were those objectives, and I do agree that those objectives are exactly what we should be doing, what hopefully that we can do. However, feasibility will determine that, to what degree and at what cost. But those things are all laudable, and those are controls, and their anticipations of this is what a data center really should look like, in essence. This is how operations should be. They should be consolidated. You shouldn't have 12 different data centers operating out of one building, all sharing the same coffee pot, so to speak. That we should have a reduction through, the true consolidation of those different resources and infrastructure. That those things were all laudable and likely attainable. However, execution of that and making sure that occurs is a very, very complex and expensive process, and would require truly everyone to be on the same page with the same goal, the same, and to have a great deal of accountability provided in that. So accountability would be probably one of the key elements of it. You have to be ready to do it. Before you do it, have a roadmap.
Thank you. Did you have testimony?
I'd just like to add one thing. And, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Eric Ungern. In terms of the original promises made back in 2005 or whenever it was, I believe our previous audit addressed this issue in that the information on which that was based to make these promises of cost savings and reductions in staff and all these things, it, to our view, was not based on sufficient, complete information. And that was something that the contractor had worked on and come up with.
One final thing. There were two line charts in the previous presentation. One showing that the two lines sort of going together like that, and the other showing them crossing. If we had been shown that second chart in the beginning as opposed to the first one, would your audit sound any different? Look any different?
Mr. Chair, that's a really interesting question. I almost have to make that kind of a rhetorical question. If you knew all that would occur back then, do you think the legislature would have approved a $64 million lift and drop project? And I think, in that respect, if they knew that was going to be the end, I believe unlikely, given the scenario. I think, though, that if there were promises of not only cost reduction, or if there were legitimate cost-benefit analysis that showed that there would be benefit at the end, but it was going to cost you more in the beginning, then hopefully the legislature would have taken the high road and would have said, we will do that. We will have the short-term pain for the long-term gain. I think that's probably where we're at right now, is we've had a lot of short-term pain and we're looking for some long-term gain.
And I agree with what you just said, but I don't think it answered my question. The question I asked was, how different would your audit report have looked?
Mr. Chair, I believe our audit report would have looked exactly the same.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you very much. Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. thank you for being here. Just go ahead and identify yourself and decide who's going to talk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Scott Hare. I'm the director of the Department of Administrative Services. To my right is Teresa Massey, the head of the Enterprise Security Office, and to her right is Mark Breyer, who is the administrator of the State Data Center. And I believe Mark was going to go first, and then we'll have Teresa, and then I'll wrap up with some closing comments.
Fine.
Right. Chair Riley, members of the committee, my name is Mark Breyer. I'm the administrator for the State Data Center. After listening to Bob Cummings' remarks, I think I should qualify that I don't have 40 years in the IT industry. I only have 30 years in the IT industry, 27 of which on the opposite side of outsourcing. We were the outsourcer as opposed to the outsourcee, and 3 years as of last week, 3 years in state government. I would like to present a presentation. I believe you have the handout that is entitled Oregon State Data Center. And on page 2 of that handout, you'll see the agenda that I would like to talk about. However, before I start, Teresa to my left is going to go further into security. But I want to just mention a couple of things on the heels of the audit report. First, I want the legislature, I want the citizens, and I want all of the agencies to know that the security of our systems, applications, and data has never been better, has never been more secure than they are today, but furthermore, has never been more secure on day one that they moved into the data center. Not only was the existing security in place, but there are two additional layers of security on the perimeter and on intrusion detection that was there on day one to protect our systems. And so I want to make that very clear. I also like to add that I disagree with the publishing of the statement that the State Data Center is not providing a secure environment. Obviously, I disagree with the statement itself, but I disagree with publishing that in the public sector. Security is one of those things that hanging out a sign saying there might be some exposures, which did occur in this particular case and reported by the press, only emboldens hackers to try to hack into the systems even more. In the future, I wish a statement would just be made that the findings of security on it are in a separate and private document, but I think that's a much more responsible way of reporting those.
Well, of course, we have no control over how the Secretary of State does their audits, so you'll have to take that up with them.
Representative Riley and members of the committee, I was saying that to the auditors.
Maybe we need some auditors.
The agenda I'd like to go through, and I can go through quickly, and if I don't address all of the issues that were raised by the audit, but I would certainly welcome the opportunity to do that. But the agenda is, are there cost savings from the consolidation? Is the SDC, the State Data Center, an efficient and effective organization? Why are costs higher than what agency budgets reported back in 2004? What's been accomplished in the State Data Center, and that's current to date, a little short history, and then what does the future hold? So I'd like to go through that, if I may. I think you've heard some pretty compelling testimony so far that the original numbers that reported back in 2004, actually it was early 2004, of what the cost of IT from the agencies were prior, cost of the data center services from the agencies prior, and I'm on page 3, by the way, were not well understood, and I think we can all safely say that they were understated, either because they weren't well understood or because they weren't reported in a consistent manner in the accounting system. So what we did was we took our current costs compared it to what was budgeted in 05-07 and the increase in that budget, I should say 03-05, and what the increase was in that budget. And then we took our capacity and what we've ordered to date, and all of that is demand-generated capacity, that is capacity that is required by our customers, additional computers, additional software, et cetera, and what the cost of that was. And what the chart shows that back in 2005, that cost at 100% has since increased to about, it's 47% increase to $149 million. However, that's not what the data center budget is. Our data center budget from the first day of inception in late 2005 has only gone up to $134 million. And so if our cost would have increased at the same rate that we were spending, these aren't fictional numbers, but actually spending for the additional capacity, there's a $15 million savings. That's not fictitious numbers. Make sure it's well understood. If paying for the increases in mainframes, in servers, in networks, and in software.
I'm going to stop you just for a second.
Sure.
You say they were agency-driven, customer-driven. Sure. Is that because they had new applications to do? They were increasing their data capacity. Why did they have these increases?
I think much of the reason was before I got here, but listening to the CIOs and the agency heads, from the 2001-03, there were a recession in Oregon and there was a lot of belt tightening. In 2004, the consulting company Accenture identified that by that time, about 87% of the assets, computer assets, were already obsolete. Well, in 2003-05, the CIOs and agency has already realized that this is about to move to the state data center, and needless to say, you would not be investing in infrastructure. So a lot of that was a tremendous pent-up demand for storage, for computers, for software.
Thank you.
The other element I should add, though, is the underestimate of the year-to-year growth that agencies were experiencing and are continuing to experience. I don't think that that was well understood in each of their data center budgets. And so if we would have spent, that's a $15 million more, and it's basically because we didn't spend that $15 million more, it's $15 million of reduction in other services. So the second question that I'm starting on page four is the state data center an efficient and effective organization? There's a company out there called Gartner, which is probably recognized as the premier company in providing industry benchmarks of everything from staffing to the general cost of computing, as well as best practices. And in December 2007, they came out with their 2008 benchmarks. And I want to refer you to two of those. The first report and analysis that they did was the staffing for state governments. This is state governments only. And what percentage of the total IT staff provides data center functions. And so I broke that out into the categories that they broke out. Generally speaking, you have to understand an IT staff is generally broken into two categories. You have the data center, which is infrastructure, and you have the applications, which are the programs that run the business of state, such as MMIS, such as the intelligent transportation system and the like, and hundreds of other business applications that we have there. So they're broken into two functions. Taking just the data center function and reporting on the average percentage in state governments, we multiplied that by the current number of IT positions that currently exist for the 11 scenic agencies. And that is as of July 31st of this year. Using that number, Gartner would have predicted that we would have about 261 people working in the data center. As we speak, we have 140. Now, I'm not asking for more staff, but I do want to indicate, I will get back, if I could, Representative Riley, I will get back to that in a second, but I do want to repeat that the staff that's working over at the data center is very lean and in all likelihood far more efficient and saving, I guess, unrecognized dollars than what was occurring before. It goes back to what Mr. Cummings was saying, is the difficulty is in finding it. But that's real savings. If we look at the same type of comparison, again, 2008 Gartner, and I won't belabor this, but we did it by function as opposed to state government, and this is against all industries, that number would come out to be about 290. Interesting enough, it was about my third week here back in 2005, August of 2005, that I understood the what the inventories were in the state data center, and just based on my experience, realized that 155 was not a correct number.
Does this say that private industry would have more employees in a data center of this size than state government typically does? Is that what this says?
It seems to indicate that, but I should say, to be fair on the state government side, I only took the employees that were working in the 11 agencies because I didn't want to draw into question. In point of fact, we provide services, mainframe services, network services to many other agencies. That number would be closer to 1,500 instead of 1,167, okay. But I didn't want to include that because I didn't want anything to be called into question here. On page 5, I have a comparison of our rates compared to other state rates. Now, bear in mind, while there are 27 states on Mr. Cummings' map up there, when you actually check into what they consolidated, very few of them, in fact, just a handful, have consolidated to the degree that we've consolidated as far as the number, the scope of the services that we've brought in. So there's very few states out there that are providing across-the-board services that we're providing, and therefore it's hard to find rates. Further, those that have consolidated, we can only found by looking at websites which ones have published rates as opposed to those that are not published. So we didn't cherry pick. It's my way of saying these are the ones that we had available to us. And as you can see, almost across the board, our rates are low, or if not lower, than the other states that we compared ourselves to. On page 6, we talked to the latter part of the question, is the SDC an efficient and effective organization? Our job, when we get dressed in the morning and come to work, our job is to keep the systems and networks up and running so that those phone calls don't occur. We're just like the cable company. You only want to hear from us when things are bad, and we only want to hear from you when things are bad. But there's a tremendous amount of work keeping that infrastructure up and running on a daily basis. Well, our statistics are showing better than 99.9% availability. We'd like to get to 99.99% availability. You do run into rules of math. Right now, I think we're running at 99.97. Of course, you can only have if you're a mathematician, you can only have a maximum of 100%, and that gets more and more difficult to start playing with those decimal places. Plus, there's investments that would have to be made to increase availability. But that is good. I should say good as any and better than most as far as data centers are concerned. One of the pent-up demands that we found in 2007 after all of the agencies had moved in were service requests. Again, a tremendous backlog. They've, in fact, doubled in 2007. Because we were doing many of the things that that the auditors didn't find, like developing plans, developing standards and architecture, we were doing that mostly in 2007. Unfortunately, it created a tremendous backlog in our service requests. request. At the end of 2007, and working with the state CIOs, we said, you know, we're going to switch gears and focus on those service requests. We have them now down to a manageable backlog of about 30 days. Now, that's an average. Some service requests are days to fulfill. Some are months to fulfill. But 30 days is probably as good at this point that we can get. Might be able to get it down to 20 days, and that's what we continue to work on. But the customers do have concerns. One is cost. We continue to hear that our costs are too high. I do agree with Mr. Cummings. It's, in 2 weeks, he found something that is very obvious, and that is that the small and mid-sized agencies are paying what I consider to be an unfair share of the total cost, and a lot of that is because of the way the rates and the billing were set without historical information back in 2007. But we do have plans with the Finance Committee to fix those rates and better apportion cost to those agencies that are actually incurring them. Time to fulfill requests. I believe Mr. Cummings referred to mowing your own lawn. If I hire somebody to mow my lawn, and if he's not there when he's supposed to be there today, then I'm a very upset customer. In the days that I used to mow the lawn, if it could wait till tomorrow, we waited till tomorrow, and I think a lot of that is expectation. However, we are working with our customers to better prioritize the request, because we did find ourselves working on the low priority request and not on the high priority request. So I think there is definitely improvement that we could make in that particular area. And then better day-to-day communications. Yesterday, we to the CIOs, we just demonstrated an internal web portal that will allow direct communications between the customer and us, as opposed to the phones. That will give them the status of all the requests, that will allow them to input requirements, that will give them forums in which they can dialogue with us, given the status of the systems. It was very well received. So we think that's going to continue to improve the day-to-day operational communications. And that basically is the improvement plans that I have down below on the page 6 there. So the third big question is, if our rates are lower than most states, if our staffing numbers, which is the primary cost of a data center, is extremely low, then why are they higher than the agency budgets? I come from the business side of the IT industry, there, in my opinion, there are definitely improvements that can be made in the basic accounting systems that we have here in the state. But all I can do is assess it from the time that we inherited the systems, computers, hardware, and software into the agencies. And so the first one that I can say is that their cost in 2004 were understated. Why? We got into that earlier. I think that they were not well understood. But the bottom line is that the invoices that we were receiving that used to go to the agencies themselves amounted to far more than the budget that we received. Now, we're paying the bills now. And to give you an example, a software cost, the original budget or the cost that the agencies thought they were spending was about $12.5 million. We are at 25.8 biennium to biennium comparison. Almost all of that was software that the customers were using before. So some of it is upgrade cost. Some of it was probably unknown cost. Demand for additional capacity, I'd gotten into the original chart. There's a 47% increase in additional capacity. There's also payment for additional scope of services. The 2004 budget did not include a scope of services that we're providing today, not the least of which is 24/7 support, the whole security function, email hubs, remote support. And I will say, and I don't put it in here, but that is the debt payment. It's it's too bad that that those 2004 and the business case that was developed wasn't audited. It wasn't until, you know, probably would have saved a lot of grief and a lot of time. But I will say this, that the original business case, and there were no plans to meet that business case, that is a fact, the original business case had on day one a reduction of staffing from 155 to 93 on day one. Yet there was no plan how to get to 155 to 93. It was just going to automatically happen. That's an additional cost now that our agencies and our customers are having to pay. I can only give you the short history because I started in the fall of 2005, and I like that my opinions are firsthand. The one is there was a lack of detailed plans that's been well covered here, but there was no consolidation project plan. Customer concerns, I'm sure that everybody heard them, but I certainly heard them from all of the customers that we, both technical and business and CIOs and executives. The business case was not feasible. The planning team was inexperienced. I have noticed in the 3 years I've been here that everybody's a data center expert, but suffice it to say that the planning team, none of them had data center consolidation experience. The building was about to be open in the fall of 2005. It was opened in November. I came to these conclusions about a month after I started, about September, October of 2005. And so I was the one that made the probably one of the easiest decisions I ever made, because there wasn't any choice, to lift and drop. And so I was the one that made that decision. Otherwise, we'd be sitting there today with an empty building trying to figure out what a consolidation plan should look like.
I see the Secretary of State's Audit Staff nodding at that, so that's interesting.
Well, it was there, and I think that if history is any lesson, that auditing should take place before we put a shovel in the dirt, not 3 years after. In 2006, yes, we did the lift and drop. The agency migrations were much, much larger than we expected. I will say this, we had many, many 5-inch binders of migration plans that came in. They came in without disruption to the business environment. It took a year to do that. I realized that the auditor said that there were no plans to do that. There were very detailed plans to do that. And to answer your previous question, that was done internally. In early 2006, if I can give you a little anecdote there, we had a company who wanted to charge us $350 per server, which it's about 25 pounds and about the size of a pizza box, per server to move the servers from ODOT 3 miles down the road to our data center. When I found out about that, I immediately, about hours before it was a start, canceled that contract. Grabbed a bunch of us in vans, including myself, and started lifting servers. That was my message to the vendors, to the contractors, and to the staff that this isn't free money anymore. We're here to save money, and at $350 a server, we're going to lift those things ourselves. And I think that message got across. Perimeter security intrusion detection was in at 2006 and was in, and Teresa's going to talk more about this, but was in before the first server moved in, the first computer moved in. And those are extra layers of security. We identified the needs for processes and procedures. There were no documented procedures and processes that we received from the agencies, and so we were on our own. And there were, as Bob had noted before, in 30 years there were no standards and there was no enterprise architecture. Today we have an enterprise architecture across all of our infrastructure that the state has never had for the computers, for the network, and for security. And during all this, in the end of 2006, for all of 2006, we didn't even have a staff. We were borrowing. We didn't hire the staff, actually about half of the staff, until October of 2006. And then, as has been is now famous now, we didn't have enough space to even put people, even doubling up in the cubes that we had. So we waited until the early 2007 before we hired the rest of the staff and tried to build a cohesive team. Shortly after the staff was hired, maybe even before all the staff was hired, the audit started to take place. The audit started in April of 2007, and so I do agree that 4 months after all of the agencies had been moved in, and in many cases weeks while the employees were still trying to find where their desks were, there's a lot of things that need to take place. And we implemented basic processes. At first, we had no idea who to call. We would have computers that go down. We didn't even have the passwords to those computers. We tried to figure out who to call in the agencies just to get the password to get onto the computer to bring the computer back up. Sometimes we found the people. Sometimes when we found the people, we actually got the password. And so it was an interesting 2006, and the early 2007 was a very interesting time. I know it's been a long day, but and much of this on page 9 here of what's been accomplished in 2007-2008 could make your eyes roll, but I do want to make sure you understand some of the accomplishments and some of the big accomplishments. And so if you want to ask questions on all of that, but there's been tremendous accomplishments, and no, those were not going to happen on their own in the agencies before. We had three mainframes. Today we have one. Tremendous accomplishment. We've had a net reduction. That's net reduction of 240 servers, or about 18% of the whole server base. That's with adding 550 some odd servers. So there's been a net reduction. While we are continuing to do business, there's going to be a continued reduction in servers. And I'll just go through many of those. By the end of the year, I do want to point out that in our mid-range computers, we have 54 of them today. We will be down to 4 by the end of the year. So tremendous accomplishments that are being made in consolidation that wouldn't otherwise happen. Just to get into what's ahead in the future, I want to talk on page 10 a little bit about my personal education.
Before you go to page 10, sure. The server consolidation, net reduction in servers, how does that relate to energy reduction?
The Chair Riley and members of the committee, each server, by our estimate, consumes about $75 worth of power at today's rates per month. And so if we multiply that out, it's about $1,000 a year. That's not just the server itself, but that's also in cooling of that server. And so we can multiply that out of about $240,000 reduction just in those servers. Further, we've and I should add that does not include the move out of DCBS, which we did for power reasons. I don't want anybody to be confused with that. We also realized 45% less power consumption in our mainframe consolidation from 3 to 1, and we will have that was being consumed by the mainframe, not in total. And we will have another 50 to 60% power reduction when we move from the 54 mid-range processors, which probably take up out most of the, you know, the front of this room, down to four. And the four that we're moving it to is new technology that has far more energy efficient chips. So power reduction is, unfortunately, the power rates are going up, but the power, the actual consumption of power is going down and going down significantly. Before I get into what the future holds, I want to talk about some of the challenges ahead and some of the things that I've learned in 3 years here. In the private sector, which I know well, the challenges that are reported, this came out of an IBM publication, the challenges that were reported for data center consolidations are pretty well known to me, and I know how to deal with them pretty well. Budget cost constraints, lack of human resources, complexity, lack of agility in the IT organization, lack of business alignment. And it just takes good technical and good business leaders to overcome some of those obstacles. In the public sector, as Bob mentioned, NASIO had just released a report just a few weeks ago. NASIO is the National Association of State Chief Information Officers, published a report on state data center consolidation, not this state, but all state data center consolidation. And one of their tables that I found very interesting was, here are the obstacles or challenges experienced by states in data center consolidation. And I wanted to kind of compare and contrast that with what the private sector has. Private sector, it's very easy. It's money and resource. In the public sector, 90%, 89.7% workforce resistance to change. Agencies desire to remain autonomous. Problems experienced and moving localized devices away from the current customer base. That's mine, you can't have it, is what that phenomenon is. Backlash when consolidation didn't meet specific business needs. So we can go on and on, but I think I mentioned to Scott the other day that it takes a good business leader to handle those obstacles in the private sector. I think it takes a good psychologist to handle it in the public sector.
And have you found in your experience that these are accurate?
Well, lately I've been reading the anonymous blogs that have been found on the industry trade magazines. I don't know if that represents a majority or just a vocal minority, but human nature is such that I have found that if you take a job or a responsibility away from somebody, they're not going to be very happy, and I think that there's some backlash about that. However, it's a lot less, and it's getting smaller every day, so I think that that is getting better. But I wouldn't be human if I didn't tell you that reading some of those entries in the blogs that I've seen of late, and what's been published in the Oregonian of late, has been very difficult for me and my staff to read.
We can all relate to that.
I guess I just made a decision not to run for public office. So what does the future hold? And I'm going to shortcut probably what you'll see from the Secretary of State audit for 2009 or 2010, and that is that what are the priorities of the State Data Center? And these priorities were created in conjunction with our customer and agreed to by our customer. The State Data Center is an event-driven, task-oriented operation. We're maintenance people. We keep the bridges painted or roads cleaned or the data centers up and running. We don't have dedicated staff for projects like consolidation. And so if next year's audit is going to say, where's your detailed project plan for consolidation next year, I can say the audit is a lot of trouble. We don't have it. We don't have the resource. And we don't have the project teams dedicated, and we don't have the funding for a rapid consolidation. But that's okay. That's the business decision that I made in collaboration with my customers, the chief information officers, that we could be somewhat disruptive and try to re-engineer all of this in a very short order, which is going to take a lot of money, a lot of disruption to the agencies themselves and their businesses and getting systems out, and a lot of money on their part, and get this done faster. Or we can do it over the five-year period, and we think we can do it over the five-year period. And so do we have a day-by-day resource loaded workload breakdown and all of the other elements that one would find in a COBIT type of project plan? And I don't even know what COBIT is. The answer would be, over the next 5 years, the answer is no. Our job is the operations, maintenance, management of systems and networks, and we do a pretty good job of that. Our second is to fulfill our customer requests and support our customer projects, and we're doing a better job at that. And then, time permitting, and you saw the efficiency numbers and the staffing numbers, we work on consolidation projects. But those times are few and not predictable between. In 2009, what we will complete, we're hoping for a reduction of another 150 servers. We will have network access control, which is a very important element in security that will allow, unless you are pre-authorized, you can't even get onto our network with a BlackBerry. So it's very leading-edge tools. It's one thing to read the industry trade rags, but there's others where there's mature products and the time that it takes to implement those products. Capacity management tools, we must do a better job in managing the capacity and utilization of our assets. And, as I mentioned before, continued customer support through more types of media, such as the web. 2012, we will have finished the payment of the debt service from the COP, and that will save about 18, I shouldn't say save, that will reduce our budget by about $18 million over what it would be in 2012 just by not having that debt service. We're not coming forward with any other COP request. We believe that in that five-year period, we will have the server consolidation completed. Will it be 100%? No. There are servers out there and old antiquated systems that cannot be consolidated without total rewrites of applications. And so it's just not cost beneficial to do that. You keep the old systems up and running. Scott's old department is still running on a Wang, and I think Wang, I met my wife, she used to run a Wang, and that was 28 years ago. And it's, so I have fond memories of the Wang. Our storage consolidation will be complete. Proactive fault monitoring. Again, we have a lot of vendors here that have tools that will do that automatically. The fact of the matter is being able to detect faults before they happen, outages before they happen, is an extremely complicated process, and there is no magic, and there is no pixie dust that will do that. The other, it goes along with the capacity management, is on with the concept of on-demand management. Like a utility, we want to make sure that we are not building ahead of what our customers are forecasting or what our customers would need, and that is building additional capacity in the event that they might need it. We are going to financial instruments and technology that will allow us to turn on that technology at the instant that they need it and not pay for it when they don't. And that's more of a utility-like concept. And then software consolidation as justified by the customer. And I make that point because software consolidation, we do have hundreds of tools, software tools that are used by application programmers that are in our customer site. Well, programmers have their favorite tools. Consolidating those into one has to be justified by the customer. We can't do that. We couldn't tell you what the favorite tool is. I did notice that we do have salespeople from three of the software companies sitting in the room here. I think they would all agree that we should go to one tool for each function, as long as it's their tool. So that's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome.
I'm not going to take the whole panel before I ask for questions, because I think these are going to be completely separate presentations. Representative Edwards, you have a question?
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned during your presentation, you said it's too bad the original business case wasn't audited. And if history is a teacher, we should be auditing the business case before, rather than 3 years after implementation. And so, and again, my line of questioning, a lot of my questions I have today are bearing in mind that the state doesn't have a great reputation at this point of implementing really big, massive IT projects. So how can we improve that for the state? What can we learn from the state data center to help out Owen and eCourts and other initiatives? And so what I'm wondering is, tell me a little bit about the vendor selection process. And was it competitive? Was it the low bid? Were they given the resources? Maybe it's not the vendor's fault. Maybe the state really said, well, we'll give you just a little bit of money to do just a really cursory report. I mean, I wasn't around then, so. And neither were you.
Chair Riley, Representative Edwards, let me answer your first question, and then perhaps Scott can answer about the vendor selection. If it was IBM that was coming in to outsource, or Bob's old company, EDS, although I'd like to think it was IBM, but if it was IBM to come in and outsource the data center, the first thing that we would have done is establish what we call the base case. And that base case was combing through, from a financial perspective and a resource perspective, would be combing through every invoice that ever had or didn't have. And after looking at that invoice, we would make a determination whether it was complete or incomplete information. If it was complete, and understanding exactly what scope of services we'd be providing, could we do it better, faster, cheaper? If we couldn't, we'd walk away from the deal. And so if I had any recommendation, is when being presented with the financial cost up front, not the savings, but just the cost today, is to audit and verify. If you can't, because the accounting systems or whatever are not available, or they're not well known, then don't proceed to go. Don't go to step two. That would be my recommendation as a business person. I don't know what the proper structure of government of who audits what. I do know that back in 2004, just reading what I've read, the information was out there that there were concerns about the business case. So I don't, and some of that was actually in front of the legislature itself, but many of it was in committee meetings. I don't know why audits didn't occur to verify what the business case to begin with. I wasn't here, and I think that's an important concept. But I do think you're right. It's the state isn't very good at implementing large IT projects, and I would keep that in mind next time a large IT project is approved. But I would definitely focus on the upfront business case, particularly the cost, and hold people accountable to the savings. If it was a private company and I said I'm going to save $10 million, I can tell you I better save $10 million and I better have a satisfied customer and I better have happy employees. And I want to leave with one thing before I turn it over to Scott. While there's a little off the record, if I may, that while there's plenty of criticism and hindsight and blame, the 140 employees of the data center, given what they inherited and given what we didn't have for them, and process and procedures and in some cases even desks and chairs, what they have overcome and implemented to date, that there should be no criticism on the backs of those employees. They're the most dedicated, hardworking employees that I've been very proud of and had the opportunity to serve with. In my book, they're the heroes of all this.
Do you have an answer to that question?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Edwards, without going back and looking at the actual procurement, I'm not sure if it was open competitive and what the standards were that they used for that particular decision to choose Accenture. I will say, though, that the agency I currently had did not follow some of its own rules in implementing this project, and one of those is to have quality assurance on the development of the business case. And they did not have an outside third party looking at that process and that project, and they should have. And so that's one of the things that we didn't follow our own rules. And
I believe we're doing better at that these days than
you're doing a much better
we were
job
at that time. And in fact, I think this committee is going to make sure that we do better at that than we have in the past. But I think I do disagree a little bit with Mark. I think the state has done a very good job of implementing large projects. It's not always seen that way by the press, who they're the ones who influence all the folks. And quite often, that press coverage then causes some backlash, which then causes us not to do as good a job as we were going to. And I think we have to recognize that the state actually does a pretty good job at almost everything it does. And large IT projects, we've done a good job of, I believe. I wanted to say that we're getting very close to when we're supposed to wrap up. I'm going to continue going for a while. At 12 o'clock, however, I'm going to take about a five-minute break, and then we're going to come back and finish up, if that's acceptable to everyone. Okay. So with that, Teresa, you want to? Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Meyer, you had a question.
I did, although for all you techies out there, I'm not one. That's why I hire staff. but I guess I'm a little bit confused when I talk about the consolidation plan and not having one, but yet I'm reading, so I guess I want to know the difference between that and what I'm reading about server consolidation, mainframe consolidation, automated backup and recovery consolidation. So what is the difference and what am I missing?
Chair Riley, Representative Beyer, the only explanation, those accomplishments couldn't have been done without a plan. The only explanation I could possibly have of the audit itself is that the audit started, it's been a year and a half since that audit was conducted, and it was shortly after the lift and drop, if you will, was done. At that time, we couldn't even not only put together a plan for some very complex consolidations there, but we can't even do the procurement in a four-month time. So, the only explanation you could have is maybe at the time that they looked, that those plans weren't there, and they weren't. Again, they didn't come over with the original lift and drop because they weren't developed prior. You can't have plans until you have an architecture, because those plans are to go from an as-is to the new model. And so we spent time developing a new model, and then the plans to migrate from to. So we do have plans. We did have plans to achieve those consolidation results. We do have plans that for the future consolidations that we have. I can't tell you that we have detailed day-to-day, hour-to-hour plans for what we are hoping to achieve 4 or 5 years from now. I guess we could put that together, but it wouldn't be worth very much next year, let alone 5 years. So I would disagree with the audit report, at least at this point in time, that we do not have plans. I believe that we do. We have shared that and gained consensus with it with our customers, the CIOs, and the agency heads themselves.
And I want to say that I believe part of the confusion is the different ways that we're using the words consolidation, the word consolidation. One of the ways we're talking about consolidation is consolidation of applications, which we have not even attempted at this point. And I believe that that's the consolidation that you're wondering, how can that, you know, and they haven't. They haven't even looked at it yet, really. The other consolidations are more operational and hardware consolidations, which have been accomplished and are being accomplished and planned. Is that...
Mr. Chairman, that's pretty much sums it up.
Okay. Yes, sure, appreciate that.
Thank you. You kind of stirred the nest a little bit. Made me think of something. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Earlier, Bob Cummings spoke, and I think you were in the room at the time, and he was talking about the importance of having a common set of accountability measures and goals. And when you say that you have a plan in place with agencies and within the staff, it might understand that that would include accountability measures and goals, that plan that you're talking about, or is it something that you agree needs to be developed and worked on, or is that something in progress? Just wondering where we're at on that.
Chair Riley and Representative Thatcher, members of the committee, I personally am accountable for the consolidation of the data center. That does require the collaboration, the justification, and the governance of all of my customers, sometimes unanimously, sometimes individually. It's not my job to hold them accountable for theirs. It's the agency heads that hold the CIOs in each of the agencies accountable for whatever measures. But it's my job to make sure that we're collaborating with them. And in all fairness, many times software consolidation doesn't make sense. Maybe it saves the data center $2 million. And therefore, it makes that bar go down and looks good in the press. But in point of fact, it cost an agency $10 million to get to that $2 million savings. And so it wouldn't make sense. That assessment has to be done with the collaboration because they know what it would cost to do that conversion with the agencies themselves. So it would be awfully hard from just my vantage point to hold accountability. But I do believe that we have adequate collaboration at this time. But I don't want to... see that there's a panacea that is done in a vacuum from either the agency heads or myself.
But Mr. Chairman, I add to that because Director Hart that comment. I saw her writing feverishly some notes, and so I have a feeling we're going to have that conversation because I do think it would have a benefit to having the joint ownership of the state data center, not only by DAS but by the customer agencies as well. And I think there's an avenue there that we can pursue, and I'm going to have conversations with Mr. Cummings about that as well. So I think there's an opportunity there for us.
Thank you.
Quick observation. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following up on this last little set of comments, it occurs to me when you talked about there's been a lack of consolidation of some of the software processes. It's not your mandate as at the data center to mandate that different agencies consolidate their processes, their software processes necessarily. As you alluded to earlier, may have their own particular needs or preferences, and it occurs to me that consolidation without a push from either the legislature or the executive branch
may
not happen.
Those agencies all work for the governor.
Right.
I'm going to hold off your testimony, if I may, and take a little break here. So I'm going to call a recess at this point, and we'll be back in no longer than 10 minutes. Okay, I'm going to call it back to order, and we're going to continue. I'm going to try to keep this moving and keep it short so we can get out of here fairly quickly. So if you're testifying, I'd like you to keep it short and quick. Teresa.
Thank you, Chairman Riley and members of the committee. I'm Teresa Messé. I'm the State Chief Information Security Officer. I'm also responsible for the Enterprise Security Office. I have my CISSP, which is a Certified Information Systems Security Professional. I've had that for many years. I also have a background in business continuity planning. I've been with the state for about 5 years, and prior to that, I was in the private sector. I want to echo Mark's comments about the challenge of discussing security in a public forum. Obviously, it's very near and dear to my heart, but I do want to make some comments about it, seeing as there was an audit of the security within the state data center. There's been a lot of comments made about security prior to this, so I'll try to keep my discussion very brief. As has been mentioned, one of the primary objectives of moving the various agency data centers into a consolidated data center was to improve security, and as Mark has mentioned, I think we've come a long way. There are certainly some efficiencies and effectiveness that you just can't achieve when you have the data centers are so distributed. Some of the agencies were doing a very good job. Others were struggling because of resources or funding to try and put in an adequate level of security. I think when we consolidate that and centralize it into one location, it is far more cost effective, and we can produce a higher level of security. Certainly, security is a process of continuous improvement. There's no way anyone can say that on this particular date we're going to really have achieved the level of security that we need, because the bad guys out there are always one step ahead of us. So we do the best that we can, and we recognize that it's something we have to continue to look at on an ongoing basis. One of the things that I did want to emphasize is that, as Mark has stated, we are in a better situation than we were when these were distributed amongst the agencies. As Mark said, we have a much stronger perimeter now. That was something that was identified several years ago when my office did a vulnerability assessment of the agencies that were going to be participating in CNIC. That was a high priority to strengthen the network perimeter, and that has certainly been done. There's been a strong focus on that. Also, intrusion detection, as Mark mentioned in his notes, has been an area where we have strengthened the state's ability to identify some of the threats and vulnerabilities that are out there. Mark and his staff, he has a group of staff in the State Data Center Security Office that are focused on monitoring the threats and vulnerabilities that are coming across that network every single day, and they're doing an outstanding job, in my opinion. As I said, we want to be cautious about some of the remarks we make, because we don't want to invite those to be testing our resources, but I think that we have come a long way. One of the things I do want to emphasize for the committee is the importance that this is very much a collaboration. There's no single person, no single entity that owns security within the state. Certainly Mark and his group are doing an outstanding job. The agencies have a very important responsibility. They own the information. They own those applications that Mark has housed at the State Data Center. So they have a huge responsibility and role as far as security is concerned. And then, of course, we work very closely from the Enterprise Security Office, providing standards, policies, et cetera, tools and templates, working closely with the agencies. But I think it is in the spirit of collaboration that's really going to make a difference. Even if Mark had outstanding, and he does have outstanding security within the data center, if everybody else doesn't step up to the plate and fulfill their role and responsibility, then we're going to have a weak link along the chain. So that is really one of the points that I wanted to emphasize, and I think it's important that, although, as the auditors have indicated, DAS certainly has a lot of authority that the legislature has given us, we are not going to be heavy-handed in the way that we work with the agencies. It's really important for us to have a strong understanding of their businesses and what's important to them. Only they can make the decision about what is appropriate or acceptable risk, because security comes down to risk at the end of the day, and it's all about business more so even than technology. So the focus at the Enterprise Security Office has been on information security and working with the agencies, what they can do better within those things that come under their jurisdiction, what they can do with their staff as far as security awareness, et cetera, how we can work with them and with the data center, all of us working together to ensure that we're providing the highest level of security in a cost-effective manner that we possibly can. So I'll end it at that. I know that our Chair Riley is anxious to move on to some of the other testimony, and I don't know if you want to take questions at this time.
I will. Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. And I, as I mentioned, I'll shorten my testimony. You have a copy of it for you in front of you. There are just a few things I do want to make sure I cover today. You've heard a lot of the information about the early plans and the lack of documentation, and so I won't go through that in great detail. I just want to reiterate that the data center is open and running and serves 95 state agencies, boards, and commissions, and over 116 local governments every day, and that the state data center does that within its legislatively approved budget. I think those are important points, I think, that might have been lost through the conversation that we've heard the last few weeks in the media. So I wanted to make sure that we covered that. The second point I wanted to talk about real briefly is coming back to Representative Edwards' question about software consolidation. And I have here a very thick and detailed document, very small print. And this is a document that we were able to put together here just very recently, and it's a listing of all the software that is at the State Data Center and who owns it and how much we pay in maintenance costs each year. Until we had this information, we really couldn't start the conversation with the agencies about what they use, what opportunities are out there for them, and what it might cost them in order to convert to other tools that some other agencies might be using and start appreciating those opportunities. But each agency needs to weigh that against other business demands that they may be having. Do they have the staffing to do the conversions of the software? If they don't, what would it cost to hire outside staff temporarily to do those conversions, and at what cost? What's the payback period? What other high demand or high priority projects do they have going on in the agency? And those are all the types of issues that we need to weigh and have a conversation about. But until we got this information, we couldn't even start the conversation. This is the type of information that should have been available from day one. It took us to this point to get the information because we needed to go through a full year of renewal cycles, basically, to have an understanding of what we have at the State Data Center. So that's a conversation that we're going to be starting because we now have the information to have a thoughtful conversation with our customers and about the opportunities that we can present them. And then finally, the last thing I want to talk about, and Mark covered this briefly, but I cannot overstate the incredible amount of work that the folks at the State Data Center have done and the work that they've accomplished to create a brand new organization from scratch, inherit the work of 11 state agencies, and to work on the hardware consolidation that they've done in the short time period that they've done is really a remarkable accomplishment. And I think a lot of times that the staff feel that when they read things in the paper that it's an attack on them, and I want to recognize that they've done an incredible job and continue to do an incredible job, and that the benchmarks that they're being measured against were unrealistic. And I think after today's discussion, I think we all recognize that the early planners were overly optimistic, and that what we need to do is set new benchmarks and move forward from here. So with that, I will conclude my testimony so that the committee can move forward and be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Director Archangelo, if you would.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for coming.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Elizabeth Harshenko, Director of your Department of Revenue. With me is Dave Almond, the CIO for the Oregon Department of Revenue. I'm here in my capacity as a customer of the data center. Revenue was one of the 11 consolidating agencies. We actually physically moved we have a mid-range computer. It's an I-series, IBM I-series. It's not the big mainframe things that ODOT and Human Services and Department of Administrative Services use, sort of in that middle size box. But we run our income tax processing system on that mid-range server. We run our accounting system on that mid-range server, and a lot of other applications that are necessary for tax administration and collection. We're a mid-sized agency, about 1,000 FTEs. We have 7 field offices and 3 satellite offices, so we need the network and the communication system. That's maintained also by the data center. And for those of you who I haven't spoken with before, revenue administers the personal income tax, which is our big tax program that funds about 95% of your general fund, corporate income tax, property tax system. We collect the inheritance tax, tobacco taxes, debts that are owed to other agencies, and we contract to collect a few local taxes that are based on payroll or self-employment. I wanted to just address sort of the three topics that have been touched on by everybody: security, service, and cost, and then talk to you just a little bit about some of the opportunities that we have at Revenue as a result of the creation of the data center that we wouldn't have had before. The Department of Revenue has to satisfy Internal Revenue Service data security requirements. Our business doesn't run without federal tax data, and they won't let us have it unless we can assure them that that data is secure, that only the people who are supposed to have access to it have access to it, and that it can't be altered. And so as the security standards were being developed for the data center before our move, we articulated those needs. We had our own staff who were familiar with our security requirements, who were on the security standards group that were helping to prepare how the data center was going to manage agency data, and we would not have moved if we didn't feel that we could meet the IRS standards, because we can't do our jobs without their information. So as everyone else has said, security is something that is a continuing process. The nature of the tools that we use continues to change. The nature of the information that we have continues to change. The nature of the environment in which we're doing business continues to change. And I also serve on an advisory group that advises Teresa and her team on the development of security standards and the impact on our business in state government. We have had no incidents, and I suppose I better knock on wood, because it's always just a matter of time, I suppose, but we've had no incidents of any unauthorized access to data as a result of the move. And personally, I sleep better at night because the physical security at the data center for not only the machines we sent and the people that we sent and the information that resides there is much better than the physical security that was in the revenue building. Our building is 25 years old. Our machine and the mainframes for Department of Transportation and Department of Administrative Services were in that building. If there was some sort of natural disaster, that building probably would crumble. And there would be not only our systems, but other big systems that would be probably irreparably broken. The standards that the data center was built to would allow the data center to survive something that our office building would not. And so I have much better assurance that we can bring back up critical systems much more quickly and effectively if something does happen to our building. We also only had, when we had our mid-range system in the building, only a few hours of backup power, just enough to be able to orderly bring down the system so that a sudden power loss wouldn't harm either the hardware or the data. The data center has days of backup available. As I said, we run all of our major systems on the machines that are maintained by the data center. We also run our email and, you know, calendar and all the other sort of basic operating stuff, office operating stuff there. We did, very early after the transition, have some delays in transmission over the network, and I learned more about computers than I ever thought I would learn over the last several years. The data center and their contractors put a top priority on solving the problem. It turned out we were sending information in bytes that were too big for the pipe, and we had to break those into smaller packets, and once they were broken into smaller packets of the right size and the pipe could swallow them, off they went. And but what I do want to comment on is how well the folks at the data center kept all of us informed what they were doing, what they were trying, who was involved, what they had learned, what they were trying next, and checking back with us to see whether changes that they had made were working. So it was a trying time for us, but in terms of just the interaction back and forth and the energy and effort that the folks at the data center put into trying to help us figure out what the problem was, I thought was extremely professional. We have access to things now that we just couldn't have provided for ourselves before. Our IT needs and our business demands change all the time. We have an expectation on the part of taxpayers and the legislature and the business community that we will continue to use the internet and web-enabled technology and handheld device-enabled technology to interact with them and to allow them to conduct their business with us. And I don't think we would have the capacity in our staff and in the resources we have internally to really be able to offer those kinds of services to citizens who expect them without having the data center having offloaded the responsibility to just manage all of that core computing capacity for us. We have more storage capacity available to us when the mid-range consolidation that Mark talked about, the going from 54 to 4, we will be involved in that consolidation. We will have a higher capacity processing available to us. One of the things that has occurred that I very much appreciate, and I think this is the beginning of what's going to happen a lot more, the data center acquired an enterprise license for business recovery planning that all of the agencies can use and that we have in fact used and gotten ourselves much further down the road on business recovery planning for critical systems. For us, the key one is making sure we get the money in the bank, and we can now do that using that planning tool. On a cost basis, I went back and looked at how many positions we eliminated when the data center was created, the costs we would have paid for those positions, the hardware and software updating, replacement, and capacity management expenditures that we were making. And I believe that I am actually paying less than I would have paid had I kept all that stuff in my agency and in my budget. It's disguised just a little bit because as one of the consolidating agencies, revenue is participating in retiring the certificates of participation. But when you separate all that stuff out and look at specifically just operations to operations, I'm at or a little bit less than the cost I would be spending today for the same services. The last thing I want to talk about is opportunities, and then I'm going to ask Dave if he's got any comments. We've got an opportunity to develop much more in the way of shared services, not only technology-based but others, because the executive branch has gone through this process of coming together and looking at what we need in a more holistic and collective way. Mr. Cummings mentioned that trying to overcome 30 years of separate architecture is really a challenge. We're really talking about nothing less than culture change in state government. It has been a long time coming. It is a very difficult thing to accomplish. change often creates a lot of fear in everybody, and supporting that change is something where there are lots of different parts and pieces that need to come together. And one of the things I was writing furiously about as I was taking notes listening earlier were some of the questions you were asking Representative Edwards about process. That we do have the opportunity to, and I think we must, change the way we talk about the work of state government. And rather than continuing, whether it's in our budget development and discussion or it's in our program direction, about an agency and the walls around that agency, we do have to divide up the work of state government. You've given us the responsibility to administer revenue programs, but we interact with employers, we interact with employees, we interact with business entities, as do other state agencies. And what's beginning to happen, I think, is we're starting to see the value and the need to look across those structural lines that we've created in order to get our work done, to look at what's the nature of the work that we have to do. And I would like to echo the value that I saw. Dallas mentioned back in 2001 was the first committee that actually tried to look at IT from a more enterprise perspective in the legislature. That was really exciting, because at that time we were talking in the executive branch about how do we start to talk, the employment department, the consumer and business services department, the revenue department, with the legislature about things we need to do so that employers get what they need out of us in our tax functions. And it was frustrating because those two agencies were in the Economic Development Subcommittee of the Ways and Means, and I'm in general government. So we didn't have the same subcommittee that we were talking to about some of the things we were trying to do together. So that would be one thing, is be sure that you continue as a legislative body to break down those walls of policy and program to really look at what it is we're doing, and allowing agencies to come and talk to you about what they're doing together in a forum where you can consider it holistically rather than in the separate slices. The other is to allow us to talk to you about the finances really, really differently. Trying to plan and project what the costs and capital improvement and S&S investments for the data center are is an incredible challenge, especially managing the work that they're managing and trying to build in some consolidation work as well. And we have requirements related to the federal government and how you account for dollars that flow from the federal government in through program areas. We have constitutionally dedicated resources that some agencies are using. And again, we're all talking to you about our budgets as if we were the center of our world rather than that we're interdependent with one another. So setting up some process for us to be able to have those conversations about long-term cost of computing and computing capacity and providing access through automated systems for the public would really be a tremendous benefit, I think, between the executive and the legislative branches. I think the biggest opportunity for us is we're better able to just focus on our business, which is tax administration, and not have to worry about Bob's target of the electricity and the data center. That's there. We know it's there. We can count on it. It's there 24/7. And we can just concentrate on doing our processes more effectively. So I've been a supporter from the beginning. We learned a lot about something that we knew very little about. I think it is a success now, but it's got a chance to be a lot more of a success going forward. So thank you, and Dave, do you have some?
Real briefly, David Allman, I've had a 30-year career in the private sector and just moved across about 18 months ago. One of the reasons that appealed to me to come was because of the data center. I see that as an essential part of the future of the state in for technology. And just a couple of reasons for that. First off, as we've heard a couple of times, the utility concept is really critical. the more we can offload to a central group, the more efficient they become, the better off we become. But I think more importantly, it's the first step in learning how to cooperate at an enterprise level. And I think earlier you asked the question, what do we mean by enterprise? It's looking across the state as a single entity of operation operating consistently. And having come from a couple of large Fortune 20 organizations, I know the importance of looking at your operations consistently across a global operation. It's not something that's easy to do, but I think I see an awareness now of more of that taking place. And the data center is simply one step along that path. We're going to share our applications more. We're going to share more services as we go forward. And as I talk to my peers, I see a growing awareness. So although the data center has had its hiccups, I'm a staunch supporter. I'm fully behind everything they do. I view it as simply a stepping stone to even more, I'm not going to say consolidation, but more cooperation at the enterprise level, and I think that will really serve the citizens of the state.
Question? No? Thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony. It's been very helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's everything that we have on the agenda. I wanted to ask if there's anyone who wants to add anything to the testimony we've heard. If not, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Just identify yourself and go and run over your...
Well, thank you, Chair Riley, committee members. For the record, I'm Chuck Hibner. I'm the director of the Audit Division. Thank you for having us here to discuss our most recent audit of the data center. With me today are Neil Weatherspoon and Erica Ungern. Neil and Erica, along with a few other folks from our office, conducted the most current audit work. They did the prior audit work on the data center as well. Neil's a 15-year employee with the Audit Division, 10 years of IT experience. He is a certified information systems auditor, assistant, as well as a certified